This is Joe Costello's WFO Radio
Ignition,
covering everything that has wheels, an engine, and a driver.
The reason I race is to get the chicks. You know what I mean?
NASCAR, IndyCar, Formula One, sports cars, and NHRA drag racing.
Hey, guys, just want to let you know, WFO rock.
WFO Radio is total motorsports.
It's just so cool.
Fasten your seatbelts, fire up the ignition, and drop the hammer.
Yeah, let's do it.
Now, here's your host, Joe Costello.
WFO Radio Ignition. What's up, everybody? We are back. We are now back, and we are doing it right. Midweek following Bristol, baby. The Bristol night race Sunday night, except it wasn't supposed to be the Bristol night race. Kind of interesting stuff going on here in the WFO Radio studios, and we're going to get into it, and it's going to be a very interesting scenario, but as many of you know, bad news. Bad news to start the show, sad news, bummer news, and we like to get that out and in the open at the very, very start. The passing of longtime NASCAR reporter and personality, Steve Burns, this past week from cancer, just yesterday, got the news as we were recording the Nitro show and thought to myself, wow, this is really a bad thing. Now, the story was out there for a long time, and I think everyone had the opportunity to prepare themselves for it. But when it happens, it is just sad news. And I was fortunate enough to interact with Steve a couple of times. He came on our Wide Open show when we were on XM several times. There is one particular story that I will share with you that was actually memorialized in the NASCAR video that they put out. We'll get into that. But just sad. Yesterday, Kevin Harvick was at the White House. The President of the United States was honoring Kevin and Tony Stewart for their championship, and actually had some words about Steve Burns as well. And talk about making it real. Just really, really sad. We'll get into it. Of course, Matt Kenseth's victory out there at the Food City 500 rained late. I figured NASCAR was going to give up on it. Everybody I know like totally went away, but they came back. You got to give them credit for that. IndyCar, the Grand Prix of Long Beach, Formula One. We're going to talk NHRA. I'm going to Houston. Houston. What is this Houston you talk about? We will be in Houston this weekend for the O'Reilly Auto Parts NHRA Spring Nationals. So if you're in the area, plan on coming out, hanging out. Before we go any further, let's bring in the co-host, cohort, sidekick, Giovanni in Miami.
Hey.
There he is.
I'm here.
There he is. Now, a lot has happened since the last time we started a show. It's been like 20 minutes. And in the interest of full disclosure, we tried to do the Periscope thing for this show. You know, the live stream.
Hated it.
It was really bad. I've got a couple of people say that they, you know, they've been working. Like Brandon from Nitro Notes says he started using it recently and it's working decent for me and watching others. It's working bad for us. It's working terrible for us. And so that's that on the Periscope. I mean, I can't start a show, have a whole host of audience members not able to find it. And when I say audience member, I mean Giovanni in Miami. You couldn't get it.
I couldn't find it.
So
I got the push from the meerkat right away, though.
Yeah. Now, what's interesting is I might be meerkatting from my own account, for all I know right now. And I don't even care.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Now that you're right. Now
yeah.
You're just
so
saying, yep.
It's just a catastrophe. It's a total catastrophe. But I do have a great Meerkast story that I will share with you later on in the show. A lot going on. The phones are open. They're open right now. If you want to get in on it, by all means. But first, let's talk a little bit about Steve Burns before we get to the racing side of things. And it's as simple as this. Great personality. We were not friends. He did not know me. I don't think he would say, oh, yeah, that's Joe. But when we were doing the show on satellite, myself and Tommy Noodles, we were like a meteorite, like burning across the sky. Everyone was talking about it, and people wanted to come on, and it was a great thing for a little while. And had a great time doing it. But there was one moment that was the best moment with Steve on the show. And during the afternoon, I was watching NASCAR Live or one of the Speed TV shows, and they had Jerry Rice on the broadcast. Jerry Rice was on, and he was up there sitting at the table. And Burns was like, hey, I want to throw you a pass. And I was watching, and I thought, wow, this is great, because this guy, he gets it. He understands that I am trying to live vicariously through him. And I would love to throw Jerry Rice a pass. And sure enough, Jerry runs, and he throws it, zips it in there, and it's a perfect spiral and a touchdown and the whole thing. So immediately, I call Tommy. Got to get Steve Burns on the show. Sure enough, either that night or the next opportunity, he comes on. And that's all we talked about. Or that was at least the primary subject matter. How cool it was to throw the pass to Jerry Rice. And, oh, by the way, what if you'd have muffed it? What if you muffed it? That happens.
Kind of reminds me, Dan Marino Hall of Fame induction. Remember, he threw the pass to
Mark Clayton or Mark Duper.
Clayton. I think it was Clayton.
Clayton.
Kind of put the pressure on him, like, you better catch it.
Well, not only that, but you better hit your receiver. That's exactly what it was like when the great Dan Marino sent him out there and hit him. Burns was like Dan Marino in this example. And laid it in there, and Jerry Rice caught it, and that had to be just a great moment. I remember thinking, well, that's my Steve Burns moment, having him on to talk about that great personal moment for him. He deserved to be interviewed about it. He had had a great personal moment. Wouldn't it be wonderful if all of us in our lives, when we had great personal moments, someone called us to interview us about them and find out what it was like to go through that experience? That's really the whole basis of our Nitro show. Racers who go out and achieve deserve to be questioned so that others can learn. Not just racers. I like to interview all kinds of people, and it's just sad. We've lost Steve Burns. He was in our living rooms for many, many years, covered a lot of racing, and a lot to learn from him, both through life and in death. The way his peers treated him, appreciated him, the way the drivers have all gone out of their way to eulogize him, I think it was great. What can you say? Now, on with the show, of course. We, negative stuff, we like to put it right up front, and then we move beyond it in our very unique WFO way. How is the Meerkast going there, Giovanni? I see you checking
11 in. On.
11. See, we've already tripled the Periscope audience.
Quadrupled.
We've already quadrupled the audience. No, it's a great thing.
You want me to go through? Hi, Brian, Spink, Patrick, Sharika.
The webmaster?
Yeah, Patrick the webmaster.
Patrick the webmaster. Periscope. Abject failure.
Rich. Eric Wilson, 1330 race. Ryan. P.
1320, I believe. No?
1320 rattle, yeah, you're right. And then there's 1320 race.
Yeah.
My eyesight is not what it used to be, especially in the small print. I got to get, the reading glasses.
It's called...
JJ. Old yeah, age. No, it's funny. That's what... Old Miller Man. Man! What's up, Miller Man?
Miller Man was out at the track at Bristol. Hopefully took some videos of the start. He got a great video of the start of the Xfinity race. Car spinning out and everything, right in the frame. It was excellent.
Lawrence Paris.
Wow. All right, everybody.
The great Giovanni in Miami.
See, what's interesting is that
Bobby Graham,
down in the bayou. Tweet, retweet, repeat. Let's get the live numbers going. And I'll take you back to, I guess it was Friday night or Saturday night. This whole Meerkat Periscope thing, we talked about it with Alan Reinhart yesterday, and it's going to cause all kinds of problems for everybody. It really is. It's going to become issues because everyone has this technology. And Alan was making a very competent argument that just because you can, does that mean you should?
No, I guess in general in life, just because you can doesn't always mean you should.
Right.
But I did hear his argument. And in this case, I think that really it's almost like you're trying to hold back the tide or something.
Well, that was my argument to him, and he seemed to get it, but he kept making his point, which I understood, which is, if it's not your, our show here, we have the right to stream it, and we are. But if we go to someone else's thing and start streaming their business, then we're potentially not doing the right stuff.
Well, yes, by the same token, you can't go into the theater and, stream it, or stream the movie.
No.
And even with the capabilities we have now.
Nobody's going to want to watch that movie anyway that's streamed on a shaky phone. No,
that is kind of how people do go to record the movies.
They have real cameras.
But
in the end, when you game it all out, is it right, is it wrong? Should we, could we, will we, won't we? even if you get to the answer and the answer is no, and we need to stop this, we need to stop it, do you have the manpower to stop it? The answer is no. Do you have the resources to get the manpower to stop it? The answer is no. Like, even if you wanted to get 100 people or 50 people or one person or 10 people and pay them to wander the pits, then, okay, now you got the manpower on the scene. What are they doing exactly? Hey, you with your camera. Yes? What are you doing? I'm taking a picture. How do I know? Let me see your camera. Well, actually, I'm taking a video. You're taking a video? Are you streaming this video? No, I'm not streaming the video. Well, how do I know? Let me see. That interaction will drive away.
It can only be negative.
Every
That's just it. It can only be negative.
Fan.
That can't lead to anything good.
It can't just, lead to anything good. I'm interested to see how all of these series and sports are going to interact with this and going to deal with it. In the end, I really believe, remember, people tried to stop posting on Facebook at the beginning. There were sports, there were motorsports, they tried to stop the posting on Facebook. We don't want you posting on Facebook. We want the people to come to the race if they want to see the cars. Oh, well, that didn't work at all. There's no way to do it. The way I look at it is if you got 5,000 people all streaming the thing on Meerkat, no longer Periscope, because Periscope is an abject failure, at least to us and our audience, there's a multiple of the people who are watching, and that's a good thing. You've got eyes. Yeah, but if they see it on Periscope or Meerkat, are they not going to want to watch the ESPN broadcast? And I don't think that's true. I don't think someone is going to say, well, I saw a shaky video of it, and now I know the results. And if that is the case, then you got to stop tweeting. You got to stop all the pictures. What's the difference of me taking a little video with my phone of the race and then just posting it 10 seconds later? What's the difference? You can't stop it. You can't hold back the tide. You can't fight technology. And if someone was going to fight the technology, it would have been like, you know, Gaddafi. He tried. It didn't work out. The whole Arab Spring thing that went down, that, you know, was it good? Was it bad? It doesn't matter. It happened. It happened because of Twitter. Because you can't stop the communication. There's no way to stop it. You can't stop it. You could shut down the whole internet, but that's not going to work. So, it's just, it's one of those things. We are at the precipice of this new world. And I do have a great story that is not young person friendly that I will tell later on in the show. So, all the parentals out there that have maybe young people with them, I will give you like a warning that
and
we're going to
close the kids' ears.
Yes, earmuffs. We'll talk about adult-themed, you know, conversation regarding Meerkat.
Oh, like the Theater of the Performing Arts?
Yes. It's very interesting.
You know, I hadn't even thought about that dynamic of it.
You know, it's amazing. The more time you spend, the more you learn. Now, let's get into the whole NASCAR Sprint Cup series. I was listening on my Sprint app, which is the best thing going, and eventually, you know, I'm up late, I'm watching, I'm getting tired. And every driver that I was rooting for in any way is just falling out of the race over and over again. And finally ended up on Jeff Gordon. It's like, man, let me listen to Jeff. Let me do some in-car with Jeff before he retires. Like, I want to say, what are you laughing at? Like, how many times?
Well, you got about another 29 times left.
Well, exactly. But I'm going to be riding with Dale Jr. for many of those times, any race that he's in. Let me ride with Jeff Gordon. And there were some times where the racers were all saying, oh, I can't believe they're going to green-white checker this thing, and I can't believe they haven't called it, that NASCAR was going over and above to get the race in. But I think that's to be celebrated. I think NASCAR wanted to give the fans, all 11 of them, that hung out at the end, a finish. And they got one. Isn't that to be celebrated? Isn't that for all the people who are constantly saying, you know, NASCAR doesn't care about the fans and NASCAR blank? There's always something. This time, NASCAR worked all day long. How much jet fuel do you think they burned for that green-white checkered?
A
couple thousand bucks worth.
I would say so.
Yes.
At least a a dime's worth. Yes.
They could have easily just pulled the plug.
Well, I'll be the first one. I'll admit it. I'm up here. I'll complain. I was not happy that with that whole last green-white checkered that took an extra 20, 30 minutes. At that point, my God, I've been here for 10 hours. You're going to make me wait another half hour for the same result? They ran the 3-car out of gas. I felt bad for him. I think he should have been able to fill up and get his spot back. That whole, yeah, if they were going to do that, then they should have parked them. You know, they ran them like 10 or 12 laps
if you
under caution.
Are going to make the argument that they could have made the decision quicker and red flag them, that's different. I agree with that. But if you're there, you're at the race, you bought your ticket, you've hung tough for all of this, and you're in the stands, and you have a chance to see the checkered flag drop over cars running fast, I think you want that.
I guess. I wasn't there, so I have
no... You were
in
your house. You were viewing... You even the way you positioned it, and I'm not saying this is negative.
I'll even position it.
Negative.
It was already... It is negative. To me, at that point, I was already, like, at home. I just wanted to be able to turn off the TV and go and cash my ticket.
You could have turned off the TV at any moment.
No. But not when they went back to green-white checker, because it could have affected the outcome.
You're talking about it like it's a hassle.
Well, look, I just needed that race to end, I'll be honest with you, for my own selfish reasons.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I had the TV off. I was just listening to Jeff Gordon. And then...
It was like 11 o'clock at night. That's another
late.
Thing.
It was late.
It was.
And it was a tough day, too. Big day at the beach, running around. But all in
it was
all...
Sunday night. Some of us have to get up early on Monday morning to be at the office by 8 a.m.
Absolutely. Bright and early at the office. But here are the final results.
Oh.
What are you laughing at?
We were going somewhere here.
Well, we are going to the results. And we've got all kinds of people, like December Allen is on there using the Meerkat for the very first time. Everybody's doing it. We need everybody to retweet. Here's the deal. This is a new camera angle everybody's using. And when I tell you my adult-themed story, you will then, understand.
Do you guys want me to push the camera a little more so you can see Joe better and
less,
he's not over your writing?
Less me.
If you guys want that, let me know. Someone, you know.
Gio is the only one who can see the comments. We have placed the camera in a high up kind of entire studio.
Yes, and that's why I have my phone here in my hand and I am trying to read the comments.
And you will tell us what the comments are if there are any.
Laces out.
Laces
out. I guess
out.
That's pertaining to the. Yeah,
it came in 9 minutes ago from Ryan.
Oh, you can see when it came in?
Well, that's on Twitter. Like, I see that on my Twitter feed.
Okay.
This is a little different because I'm streaming on.
Hey, Steve the Trucker.
And he has retweeted the show. Look, watch these guys. So that is kind of cool. And we also have an extra special thing for you. In theory, you should be able to hear the phone calls. Let's see.
In theory.
In theory. Like, I'm going to do something here. Let's see if people hear this. Stand by. Okay? Just a test.
Hey, guys. WFO.
Well, and you'll see in a second. I just gave you a little bit, like a little tidbit, like a little bit of what's coming through the speakers on our headsets here. And, you know, we'll see. I actually liked the little visit that we got from the Dusty Rhodes.
American Dream, the Bullet of the Woods, baby, talking to you about my good friend Joe Costello in WFO Radio. Talking about rapping all over the country, the United States of America.
Clear as mud, like the last one.
Dusty Rhodes is the American Dream, the personification of the American Dream.
Oh, yeah.
Much like WFO Radio. Talking about Atlanta Motor Speedway in Atlanta, GA, down to Daytona Beach, Florida, with the Firecracker 400 and the Daytona 500. Old school, baby, that's what I'm talking about. Come on down and wrap it all up at Homestead Miami Speedway, where you see the champion of rapping crowned right there, baby. Much like the American Dream got the road up in the Omni in Atlanta, GA, when I took that golden belt off the nature boy Ric Flair. Can you dig it, Jack?
Can you dig it, Jack? Dusty Rhodes coming in, cutting a promo for us.
I saw it. That was nice of him to do a WFO promo.
The Dream, you know, the Omni, Atlanta GA. So we have made some capital improvements. The audio is now able to be heard. That is a big deal. It is tremendous. The only thing, Patrick the webmaster, who encouraged me to participate in the abject failure that was Periscope, says that Periscope works so much better in landscape and not quite as good vertically. Whereas Meerkat is only designed for vertical, and we've got it in landscape, which means the comments are
right
vertical.
I mean, I could just hold the phone right
you
here.
Just turn
you
your phone. No, you just turn your phone to the side, right? Isn't that how it works? I don't know. But look, here's the thing that's most important is that we have got a hardcore group of WFO radio listeners out there who are fired up. Gio, we're going to give the results in the next segment. Do you have audio from Matt Kenseth?
Yeah, I tried to get it and I fell asleep when I was actually trying to listen to
it. No, I understand.
It's a thing. I think I did well enough by being able to post the press conference because, boy. Actually, I think I do have something that I found to be quite...
interesting.
Interesting from one of the press conferences. Let me see if I get
intriguing. Well, I can't wait. Let's hear from our winner, Matt Kenseth.
No, it definitely wasn't the winner, Matt Kenseth.
Oh, it's not even the winner, Matt Kenseth. It's not. This is ponderous, man. You can't find it. I'm just going to start talking to people about their businesses and the fact that, you know, listen, the show will be over in like an hour and a half. You can get that whenever you're ready. Whenever you're ready.
Jimmy certainly looked like every piece of that car except maybe the roof was fairly damaged. My goodness.
That's what I thought to be.
What is that, a question?
Yeah, well...
from who?
That's whomever the NASCAR guy that asked the questions in the press conferences.
Yes.
And he's telling Jimmy, that's his introduction of Jimmy.
Yes.
And so he's basically saying, you know, he leads Jimmy to be like, Jimmy, what happened today? It looks like your car, well... And it was, in fact, as you go, oh, well, you're not going to go over the results now, but...
No. Jimmy Johnson came in second, Jeff Gordon was third, Matt Kenseth won the race. And very interesting. Gordon was running second till Johnson passed him. The fact that Jimmy was able to get up there, and he did have an eventful day. He spun, he hit, he was damaged. There was all kinds of stuff.
He caused a wreck that caused Harvick not to win.
Yeah.
That cost Harvick the race.
Yep. But, hey, it is what it is. All right, when we come back, we'll get into some results. We'll talk Fantasy League. I've got a whole host of issues. Like, we've fallen behind already, just like that. We've fallen behind. But the good news is the poker guys are not coming today, and so we can go as much time as we want. You are going to hear an interview with John Zaremba from the Chrysler Corporation, actually from Fiat Chrysler Automobiles. Going to talk about the launch of the new Chrysler 300 on this show. And you're also going to hear from Joe Allen Phillips, who's going to give us basically a history lesson about maybe one of the first like WFO award, historical award recipients. Something really cool that I think you will appreciate if I know my audience at all. I know I thought it was some of the coolest stuff ever. I will go in depth on that. Of course, the Grand Prix of Long Beach. We'll open the phones. We'll talk Lewis Hamilton and Kimi Raikkonen. We'll get into all of that. But first, if you're out there on the stream, if you're listening to WFO, you're obviously a very successful, intelligent person. And you know that racing requires success, and that success is achieved through hard work and maybe building your own business. But before I go any further, you need to know that I'm not an attorney at Spiegel & Utrera PA, one of our great sponsors. But you do know that a lot goes into successful racing businesses, successful businesses, whether it be marketing experts or mechanics, sponsors, whatever the relationship. And when it comes to building these relationships, sound legal advice may help you avoid costly mistakes. Right now, WFO Radio sponsor Spiegel & Utrera PA is offering a free 30-day membership to WFO Radio listeners in their General Counsel Club. General Counsel as in unlimited business and legal advice. You join the council club. If you have a question about your business, about a project, about something you're doing, about setting up a trust, about setting up an LLC, whether you're in New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, or Miami, or points in between, WFO Radio listeners can receive a 30-day free membership. Here's how you get it. Go to WFOradio.com. Click the AmeriLawyer.com banner ad. It's on the right-hand side of the page. Get over there and do it, and enter your information. They actually physically send you a packet, a membership card, the Entrepreneur's Alert newsletter. It is actually a printed newsletter that you can get and check out with tips and pointers for your business. But then you are entitled to unlimited. They provide an 800 number. Larry was on with us a couple of weeks ago, and that is in the short clips section. If you want to hear from Larry Spiegel, he explains the whole deal, why it is a great opportunity. But you can call the 800 number and bounce ideas off of them. This is what we're thinking about doing. This is what we're going to do with our will. This is what we're going to do with our trust. This is what we're going to do with our trademarks. This is what we want to do with buying versus leasing options for real estate, vehicles or equipment, IRS examinations, converting hobby expenses into legitimate business expenses, how to buy or sell a business. all of these questions that you may have, you can call the General Counsel Club, and it is absolutely a free membership for the first 30 days. Go to WFOradio.com. Click the AmeriLawyer.com banner ad. You'll see it. It says free legal advice. No credit card, no obligation. And enter your information, and it is absolutely free. Knowledge is power, and knowing that Spiegel and Utrera PA, big WFO sponsor and supporter. Their General Counsel Club is one phone call away, may give you the confidence to succeed during the day and rest well at night. We'll be back after this on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's funny car chap, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. Or visit frankhawley.com.
WFO Radio t-shirts are now available. Wear your WFO with pride. Supplies are limited. Click WFO Store to order yours today.
Hey everybody, Joe here, and I hereby decree on behalf of the WFO universe, the winter is over, which means it's time to grill. Get yourself some Rodax Coffee and Grills.com, barbecue, spice rub, hot sauce, and of course, incredible coffee. They've got the WFO radio blend, they've got the Bang the Blower, they've got the exotics. It's all roasted fresh per your order, representing the top 5% of coffee throughout the world. Go to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com or give Marvin a call. 817-924-6821 for RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com.
Hi, I'm Larry Dixon. You know, there's more to racing than pushing a top fuel dragster down the track at over 325 miles an hour in less than 4 seconds. Like in any business, it takes careful planning and hard work. YourVelocity.com provides the tools and information you need to effectively start, grow, and run a successful business. I'm excited to work with Velocity, not only as a spokesperson, but as a client. So don't spin your wheels. Visit YourVelocity.com today.
Now, back to WFO Radio Ignition.
And a big thanks to the folks at YourVelocity.com. Larry Dixon does a pre-race report. He's getting ready for the O'Reilly Auto Parts NHRA Spring Nationals. And they put the WFO Radio logo on it. So hopefully we've got some new listeners checking in for the very first time. And, yeah, great stuff. A lot of resources on there. Welcome to those guys, and happy to have them on. And Brian Louisiana won the T-shirt last week. I have not sent it out just yet.
But oh, man.
Yeah, I know.
You see what happens when you get what you pay for, Brian.
It's a freebie. And no, it's true. And I'm going to Houston, so he'll have it next week. He'll have it next. He says he likes the studio, all the product placement.
Well, it's really not product placement if you're not getting paid for it.
No, this is all just stuff, man. This is our things, my things, my things. And we do have we have been going through a studio transformation from what it was to what it is, and everything is not in its final position just yet. This is just kind of everything sitting around. But we're getting to where we want to be. We want to shoot a lot more video from in our studio and do a lot more from the WFO radio studios, because I believe that the WFO universe wants it. They want to hear it. They want to see it. And we got some cool stuff that we have the opportunity to do here in South Florida, where the show is based. For instance, this past week, I'm a member of this media association, the Southern Automotive Media Association. Why are you laughing about the media association?
I don't know. That always has given me...
You laugh.
I find it a sense of humor for some reason.
Media association? Is that the comedy?
I guess.
What's the comedy?
I don't know.
It's just funny.
Some things just amuse me.
I understand. We got invited to see the launch of the new Chrysler 300. and it was at this place called the Curtis Mansion. And I had no idea, never heard the name. Turns out this guy is like one of the men who built America. And we're going to have an interview with the person who is the head of the mansion. This place was built in 1925. It looks like it should be in the southwestern part of the United States, like the Pueblo, Colorado, you know, kind of place.
And yeah, I got in the desert or something.
Somewhere in Arizona, who knows. And I started doing research about the man. Like, who is this? What is this place? Turns out, and here's the quick cliff notes on him. Started out. Eighth grade education, dropped out of school. Glenn Hammond Curtis. For you people on Google who don't want to hear me, you can look it up right now. Glenn Hammond Curtis. Started out with an eighth grade education, was a tinkerer, got into bicycles, which led him to motorcycles. Motorcycles, he built his own engine. Took the engine, V8 engine, put it in a motorcycle, went out to Daytona Beach, set the land speed record in 1907, I believe, 136 miles per hour on this rickety V8-powered motorcycle. Held the name the fastest man in the world for 15 years. The land speed record, it was 136 miles per hour for a long time. Think about the quantum leap that had to be taken to best that. One of these other guys, a guy by the name of Baldwin, was working with balloons on the West Coast and needed an engine for one of his hot air balloons because people got bored back in the early 1900s of just going up and down. So he contacted the dude Curtis and said, hey, can we put the motorcycle engine on the balloon? And they invented the blimp, the dirigible. So now this guy's into flight, and he gets together with Bell, Alexander Graham Bell, and they start this, like, flight, hey, we're trying to fly association. And so he got deeper and deeper and deeper. Obviously, the Wright brothers, then, they came up with the flight. And the Wright brothers were first. This guy is, like, close number two.
Like a pioneer.
A pioneer. His plane, he developed a whole bunch of planes, but the one that made him super mega rich, that he could build this mansion down in Miami, was the JN4 Jenny. World War I training planes, the Jennies, and all the barnstorming, they built these planes, the pilots that flew in World War I trained on them, and then after the war was over, they had thousands of these things, and so they sold them as surplus. So farmers and everybody in the backwoods of America, they could buy a plane for like $50. So all the crop dusting and air shows and all of that stuff, we're all using these JN Jennies designed by Glenn Hammond Curtis. So he got rich, clearly. And then there's a whole bunch of stuff, like the Wright brothers sued him. He developed the aileron. He developed the handlebar throttle. He developed all of these different things. So in 1925, he moves to South Florida, his vacation home. He founds the city of Hialeah, which was, you know, a legendary and still is a legendary place. Frank Sinatra and JFK, they went to Hialeah Horse Track. It's where a lot of stuff happened. Amelia Earhart left from Hialeah. He brought the first airports down here. He donated all the land. This guy is one of the men who built America. And so his house died...
At the very least, Florida.
The plains...
South Florida.
No, but the plains helped the crop dusting and all the things that came from the Jenny. I think he is. He's a pioneer. He's to the airplanes and airports what Flagler was to railroads, like pushing. So anyway, he dies in 1930, appendicitis, and his house is just his widow takes it over, marries another dude, and yada yada yada, it falls into disrepair. After some crazy times in the 60s, they have brought it back, and it is now used for functions like showing off the brand new Chrysler 300. And we were there, and we've got the interviews with the brand manager, John Zaremba, for the Chrysler 300, and Joellen Phillips, who is the caretaker of the mansion. And lots of great, great insight coming up in that interview. And you'd think I just told you all of it, but no, I didn't. I held back the best parts, of course, in typical radio fashion. But I spent last week on Wednesday, after this show, we were getting ready to go on Thursday to see this. And I just spent the whole time researching, like, really? How come I've never heard this guy's name? I haven't. If you guys have known him or heard of him, then that's great, bully for you. I hadn't. My bad. Or didn't recall. Certainly not in the teachings at our local schools. And I asked the woman, I said, well, why not? And she said he had no PR people, he had no spin doctors, he did not care about spin, and that he, was a tinkerer. He was just a hands-on guy who made things. You know what he made? He developed, he designed, he made the prototype? The airboat. He was the guy who made the airboat.
The airboat?
The airboat.
Oh, my goodness.
His plane was the first to cross the Atlantic. It's just amazing. And, you know, I'm into the history thing, and so it was kind of cool. You will hear from her on this show coming up. Hopefully you will enjoy it, and maybe there is a very good chance that you will not. Some people don't care about history either. They think it's a waste of their time. That's fine as well. All right, let's get into the results. Sprint Cup Series. Matt Kenseth wins the race. Sandman, guess what? In the chase. Big. It makes you think about, like, whoa, Sandman, Kenseth.
Yeah, and he hadn't won a race since the last time he won a race.
Wow, that's a really good point you just made there. He hadn't. Jimmy Johnson was second. Jeff Gordon, third. Good run by Jeff. Jimmy, just out of control. The boyfriend, fourth. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. How about that?
He finally beat Danica. Is that the first time this year we can say that the boyfriend finished ahead of Danica?
I don't know.
I'm going to go out. I'm just going to throw that out there. This is the first
but
time
it's not,
this year.
Though. On her junk runs. But it's the first time that he's beat her when they both raced well. I think that's a fair assessment. Ryan Newman was fifth, Tony Stewart sixth. Hey, there's a good run for your guy.
It was a great run.
He's capable of the top five. Gets to go to the White House. He was at the White House yesterday. Great stuff. Kyle Larson, seventh. Oh. Justin Allgaier, eighth. Those are all C drivers, by the way. Allgaier, Danica, ninth. And Austin Dillon, tenth. And there's an interesting story that Danica Patrick has now surpassed Janet Guthrie for the most top tens by a woman in the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series.
That's pretty impressive.
Now, Giovanni in Miami was very quick to point out almost instantly that it took her three times as many starts to do it. Did you not? You want to make that argument now?
I surely did. I just wanted to point it out. I'm not saying anything else other
than
that.
Yes, you are. By pointing that out, it shows me you have some sort of axe to grind with Danica.
I'd like to grind my axe with Janica, but I have no axe to grind with her.
Is that Janet Guthrie and Danica together?
No, Janica? Not at all.
Janica? All the women racers in the world just kind of morphed into one pseudo-personality, Janica?
Yeah, if that's what you want to call it.
I think it's three times more competitive now, and there's definitely three times as many good cars to take up top 10 positions. And that if we went back and found, and this is no disrespect to Janet Guthrie, who I thought she was great. We had her on the show. She wrote a great book. She's the true pioneer in stock car racing, Janet Guthrie. But I would love to know, was she on the lead lap? How many cars were on the lead lap? Like, what was the situation of the races she finished in the top 10? Just for my own knowledge. Not in any way disrespecting anything, just to know. Because I can tell you for certain, because we're living through it right now, that when Danica finishes in the top 10, there's a whole bunch of really good competitive cars behind her. Like, you know, Austin Dillon and Paul Menard, Clint Boyer. These guys are all looking at Danica's rear end.
Well, you know, Austin Dillon got run out of gas. He was running third.
Got a plan for it, man. Got a plan for anything. Got to be ready. You know, Jimmy Johnson didn't run out of gas, and Matt Kenseth didn't run out of gas. Why did Austin Dillon run out of gas?
Because he's heavier on the throttle than those two guys are.
You know, it's a race. They were not prepared. Good run for him, though. It was even better than it turned out to be. Eric Almirola, 13th. I believe Rich of the Dirty Hippies made that point pretty well. Jamie McMurray, 14th. Kurt Busch, 15th. Dale Earnhardt Jr., 16th. It was actually much worse than that for most of the day. Brent Moffitt, 17th. David Gilliland, 18th.
Well, in the middle, let me segue back. Jeff Gordon had a loose wheel, two laps down, got one of the laps on his own. He got the lucky dog on the other one, was in line to almost win the race. I thought it was a great race, although it did end 10 hours before.
It was very disjointed. It was not good for entertainment value, but Bristol is back. They've got Bristol to a point where whatever it used to be and whatever it became, compared to what it is now, it's acceptable. Like, we can get used to this new Bristol and
I thought it was good. It was great, entertaining. I found the whole race to be super exciting, even with all that non-excitement, you know, of six-hour delay in the front. And
by grinding the highest groove out, they have made it, you know, there's a couple of opportunities to go, but it's not totally wide open. Cars are still getting together. Guys are still getting frustrated. But clearly you can get your laps back, because these guys were getting their laps back, which is cool. Sam Hornish Jr., 19th. Alex Bowman, 20th. Matt DiBenedetto, 21st. Michael McDowell, 22nd. Michael Annette, 23rd. Carl Edwards, 24th. Boy, I had him. I didn't have him. But he was involved in the crash that took out the guy that I had, Kurt Busch. I think I have the worst fantasy day in the history of fantasy.
It was worse than mine.
It was really bad. It was really bad. But it wasn't as bad as yours, though. Chris Buescher, 25th. 26th, Denny Hamlin. 27th, Cole Whitt. 28th, Trevor Bayne. 29th, Martin Truex Jr. 30th, Greg Biffle. 31st, Mike Bliss. Followed by J.J. Yeley, Alex Kennedy, A.J. Allmendinger, Brad Kay. Looked like, was it the rain? Did he just lose it? Who knows? But that was my A driver and my pick.
Mine, too.
Casey Mears, Casey Kane, Kevin Harvick, Josh Wise. Harvick just goes sliding into a crash. Joy, David Reagan, Jeb Burton, and Landon Castle, who was my C driver. So it was like as bad as it gets.
Or you could thank Jimmy for that one.
Yeah. No, it was just a nightmare. And there you have it. The results from the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series action, the Food City 500. The track is right. Where were all the fans? Was it because of the forecast?
I mean, to be honest with you, I didn't pay attention to what the crowd looked like before the rain. I didn't notice that till, you know, it was, what, 7, 8 o'clock at night by the time they came back? I think it was 6 o'clock when they first came back, and they were 20 laps in. But there was no one that stayed past the rain delay, I'll tell you that much. There was, what, like 11 people there? It looked like our Meerkast.
Yeah. I wonder if Millerman stuck it out, him and the crew. Well, we'll get into it, and please don't let me forget my adult-themed story, because that's exactly the kind of thing that I will forget.
Adult-themed
story.
It wasn't on the
kids.
Told
the kids to get off of there, you know, like, all right, Mir Muffs, cut them out. Apparently, Miss Little Lowe had a birthday the other day. It's amazing what you learn on Facebook.
Oh, yeah, that's a little too much information for me on the Facebook.
Oh, my gosh, the whole
Not
thing.
Not that it's her birthday, it just the fact that there's so much information.
It was a breakfast at Tiffany's birthday. It was like
wow, that's
very
pretty sweet.
Big-time theme over there in Arizona. They're just really getting into
what
it.
What is it? Were they her quinceas?
I don't know. Could be.
No, she can't be 15.
Oh, is that what quinceas means?
Yeah, it's like that's the Spanish version of the sweet 16.
Oh.
But they celebrate the 15.
Well, isn't that just something?
Yeah, if you spoke any Spanish, you would know that quince means 15.
I speak some Spanish.
Well, clearly you're Espanol. Your numbers stop after 3 or 4 or whatever you know.
I know 20.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
But you didn't know quince that came before.
I know quince. I'm just having fun with it. You know, our audience is all around the world. We're in Miami here, where it's like very prevalent. And Lo is out there in our AZ.
Oh, they'd be speaking Espanol over there, too.
Si. To Miss Little Lo. Happy birthday. So we'll get into the Formula One IndyCar Grand Prix of Long Beach. You know what I need to do? I'm going to open the phone lines. Send out the push. That way the Jay Selig can call immediately. Do you think that'll happen? I don't think so. Could be. Is he on there? What about with our Meerkat people? How are we doing on there? How many people are on there, G-Money?
On the cast right now?
Yes.
10.
That's it?
What more do you want?
20. I want as much as the adult-themed person had, 160 people coming on and off.
Yeah, well, now I know what you're talking
about.
Take
your shirt off. See what happens.
Me?
You
want the 10 people on there to sign off?
Maybe it'll be 20. Who knows?
No, maybe if you had like a whole bunch of horny middle-aged housewives on there, they might find a guy like me attractive. But other than that,
you're not what they're looking for. They want younger, man. They've got
I meant like the older, like the 50-something-year-olds. They might find me more attractive. But these dudes, we need one of like the Traxxas girls in here for them.
Listen, don't promise what we can't deliver.
I didn't say. I'm just telling you what it is that would.
If that was the case, we would just shut off the Meerkats.
We would just watch.
That would. We just
Let me tell you. We let them see what was going on.
We had spokes models in the studio. The last thing I would be doing is doing the show for the people out there. We would just shut off everything and have some cocktails and just hang out and put on the television
the
and watch
room.
TV. Exactly. I don't know what you're talking about. Working. Not me. But hey, we've got a lot more to get into here. I actually have a list of all kinds of things. We got our Chrysler 300 stuff, Grand Prix of Long Beach, IndyCar. I thought it was great. Actually, Scott Dixon went in the thing in dominating fashion, but the IndyCars need to be on street courses more often because that's where they look. Like the Grand Prix of Long Beach and Formula One race were back-to-back, and it was really easy to look at these cars and say, maybe it was qualifying that was back-to-back. Formula One qualifying and IndyCar qualifying.
That's what it was.
They were back-to-back, and it was a great opportunity to watch those cars, and I have a lot of insight that I want to share and see what everybody thinks about it. But first, I want to tell you about RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. How many of you folks have tried a little Marvin Rodak?
I have.
Gio has. I have.
I actually just had a four-ounce shot right before coming on.
Does coffee go bad? Like, if you make coffee in the morning, is there, like, a time limit?
Well, I'm sure Marvin will tell you that you should brew it up and smoke it, drink it right away. But I've left coffee, like, I made coffee espresso today and left it on the counter.
For what? Like,
like overnight and
no
drank it in the morning?
No way. You're not supposed to do that.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a couple of days.
No, not a couple of days.
Like
from one day to the next.
It looked
That's
pretty
it.
Good. It was a little crusty.
Now, the wife has, when she does see that, she puts it in the fridge for me and you know, the next day, but...
Well, because,
look, here's a full disclosure. We don't drink a lot of coffee at my household. I didn't really start drinking...
You don't, your
well, she
rest
does
of your
now, but
does.
I've never really drank coffee at all until you gave me some of that Rodak stuff. And so now I brew some up every now and then, maybe every second or third day. But I have one of those little espresso makers.
Oh, so you're using the Rodak that I ground up for you guys.
Yes, and so then...
Isn't it great? It's
yes,
really
it good.
Is good. The smell
but
is
the little thing cool. Makes about a 6 to 8 ounces of coffee, and that's way more than I need. So I drink about half of it, and then I leave it in the glass measuring cup there on the counter, and I'll nuke it for about 15 seconds and drink the rest tomorrow.
And add a whole bunch of sugar. And that's what we did here today. And it's and it is great.
I'm still alive. It clearly doesn't kill you.
No, of course not.
But I
wonder,
said,
though.
I'm sure Marvin will tell you that we probably shouldn't do that, that we should only drink it right after baking.
No,
after
I'm sure there's an industry standard, and I don't know what it is. It's just water, after all. Strained through some...
Now, I have read that... The water that you use does have a great effect on the coffee, being that it is just water, you know, colored water after all. So they suggest that if you have filtered water or whatever water you normally use, to use that into your coffee maker, not just your regular old tap water.
Oh, I'm using regular old tap water. You mean my Rodax experience can get better?
Absolutely.
Wow.
If you use your distilled water or your whatever you want to call it.
Get some water flown in from New York, NYC.
If you use some of that from the French Alps.
Get some melted snow from the top of Everest to mix with my Marvin Rodak coffee. RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Folks, listen, we're doing it every week. He's a big sponsor of the show. We really enjoy telling you about it because it's great stuff. It is. It's lifestyle stuff. You buy it. You go on the website. You give him a call. And next thing you know, a couple days later, a package shows up. 817-924-6821. And the WFO listeners have been, sharing how they use it. Some use the A26, the coffee spice rub, on their tacos. Like, that sounds really good.
Like for taco seasoning.
Marvin has been tweeting out. Like, Marvin has figured out Twitter now. And he has only got, like, 31 followers, A26 guy, which is ridiculous. This guy's like a big personality on the WFO radio show. And he should have more followers, if for no other reason. Then he has started to tweet out some really great photographs and recipes of barbecue stuff that I want to emulate. Like the other day, I forget what it was, but it was wrapped in bacon. And immediately I was like, whoa, what do you mean?
How bad could it be if it's wrapped in bacon?
What
right?
is this? It's wrapped in bacon. And I want to do it. Like I want Marvin. This guy has got it figured out. And clearly, go on the website, click it on it from WFOradio.com, or get on there and give him a call, 817-924-6821, whether it be the hot sauces or the spice rubs, or maybe some smoking wood, the coffee wood, They've got all kinds of stuff, even barbecues. Get on there and check out some stuff. Marvin supports the show. Hopefully the listeners of the show will support Marvin and our sponsors and keep the show, you know, going and growing and all of this stuff. Because the stuff that you go through is the stuff that you grow through. How about that? We'll be back after this on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
Hey, race fans. First, you need to know I'm not an attorney at Spiegel & Utrera PA. Spiegel & Utrera PA's General Counsel Club can assist you with tough legal and business questions at crucial times. And right now, from New York City to Los Angeles, Chicago to Miami, and points in between, WFO Radio listeners can receive a 30-day free membership in the Spiegel & Utrera PA General Counsel Club. They can assist with trademarks and copyrights, how to convert hobby expenses into legitimate business expenses, how to buy or sell a business, contracts and legal documents. Click the AmeriLawyer.com banner ad right on the front page of WFO Radio, enter your email address, and receive a 30-day free membership in the Spiegel & Utrera PA General Counsel Club. And remember, knowledge is power.
Redline Synthetic Oil has been building the world's finest motor oil, gear oil, and additives, like our popular water wetter, for over 30 years. Think we're just for racers? Think again. Redline has the multi-grade viscosity available for your domestic, European, or Japanese vehicle. From 0W20 to 5W30, even 10W60, Redline motor oils are specifically designed to exceed the factory's demands, giving you longer drain intervals at lower oil temperatures. Is your off-the-shelf motor oil missing the zinc you need to protect your camshaft? Every bottle of Redline motor oil has more than enough zinc to suit your engine's needs. The same ester-based stocks found in Redline motor oil are also in our gear oils for manual transmissions and differentials, known around the globe as the best in protection, regardless of price. Check us out at redlineoil.com to find a dealer, or even buy online. Racing technology engineered for the street. That's Redline Oil.
If you're looking for extra horsepower, check out WilsonManifolds.com, the leader in intake manifold and nitrous oxide development. They've set records and won championships in just about every series in professional racing. Sprint Cup, Nationwide, Camping World Truck Series, NHRA Pro Stock, right up to the Nitro Classes. If you're looking for extra horsepower, check out the leader in intake and nitrous development at WilsonManifolds.com.
Get fired up on the WFO line.
WFO, Joe.
954-889-6796.
It's just been an absolute joy to be a drag racing fan.
Go wide open, and your call may be used on the show.
Or preface by saying I'm not a Kurt Busch fan or apologist.
I don't know where Greg Anderson's ego is gone, but I know one person that's going to be a big-time villain in pro stock.
That's 954-889-6796. That phone line is always WFO. Now, back to WFO Radio Ignition.
Well, this is the quick one. We are back. We are now back. Welcome back to WFO Radio after some crazy calisthenics during the break, but we have made it back in time. And you warned me about that. You're like, that's going to be really quick, but I like it, though. I like that it forces us to be on point. We have to get the show back going again.
It puts the pressure on you.
It does put the pressure
on. It puts the pressure on. It's a big deal, and we'll get into it. Grand Prix of Long Beach, Formula One, all of that. But first, I want to take you back to the Curtis Mansion and hear John Zaremba, who is the brand manager for the Chrysler 300. I don't know if you've seen the commercials. They've got the imp from Game of Thrones doing this whole thing. I'm going to try to bring it up afterwards. Gio doesn't watch Game of Thrones. He has no idea what I just said. But it's...
Yeah, you said the gimp from Game of Thrones.
The imp, not gimp.
Oh, you see, I had a...
Gimp, Pulp Fiction.
Pulp Fiction.
Bring out the gimp.
Image.
Gimp sleeping.
So wake him up.
Oh, it's horrible. The worst scene in the world.
It really was. It's
burned on your brain forever. It's like, ah. But we're going to go back to the Curtis Mansion. Last week, we're going to learn about the Chrysler 300 from John Zaremba, and then we're going to hear from Glenn Hammond Curtis. You folks are going to love it. There's not a test afterwards, but you'll definitely want to find out more. Here it is, Curtis Mansion. We're here at the Curtis Mansion in Miami Springs, Florida, a beautiful palatial estate for a historic launch, the new Chrysler 300. Sitting behind me, and we are with the brand manager for the Chrysler 300, John Zaremba from Fiat Chrysler Automobiles. John, this new edition of the Chrysler 300 is absolutely incredible. Tell us about this third generation of this automobile.
Sure. Yeah, we're very excited about it. Basically, what we've done is we've kind of taken the design evolution and made it for 2015, made it a little bit bolder, kind of taking the front of the vehicle, widening the front grille, kind of brings us back to the big, bold American sedan that the Chrysler 300 has been known for. So we're very excited about the design. We're getting great reviews on it. The customers love it. We launched it back in January, so we're in market today. Like I said, we've got a new front fascia to it. We've got a new rear fascia as well, with forward and rearward LED lighting, which is new for 2015. We've got the LED daylight running lamps as well, which adds to kind of the unique look to the front of the vehicle. We've got an all-new wheel lineup for 2015. Some of the things that we've done to improve the performance, we've got a new 8-speed transmission coupled with a new interior rotary shifter. So that no longer do you have a normal shift, a column shifter. You've got a rotary shifter. So we've got the 8-speed transmission coupled with the V6. We have best-in-class highway fuel economy at 31 miles per gallon. We look at what our customers are looking for in this type of automobile, which is interior spaciousness, ride and handling, interior comfort, and those things are kind of the DNA of the automobile that we've kept in place. We've got best-in-class rear legroom. We've got a best-in-class infotainment system with an 8.4-inch screen. We've got the largest panoramic roof in its class. So even though we've made some exterior changes from a design element, we've kept kind of the core DNA to what's important to our consumers.
There are a couple of interesting notes that you just brought up. The rotary shifter, I've experienced one in the Chrysler 200, and I can't help but think about the days of the torque flight transmission. And Chrysler has a DNA of hand-controlled shifting, whether it be push buttons in the 1960s, now a rotary. Is that something you talk about in the design studio, and what is there any connection to those early days in the 60s?
I believe there's more of a connection to what you brought up, kind of the ability to kind of have that control. But from a 300 perspective, we look at kind of refinement. It cleans up the interior space, provides for more storage for our consumers, which is important, but it also provides that hint towards a touch of elegance. But it is also, it provides that different feel. It almost gives you a different type of control when you're engaging with the gear shifter.
Tell me about the performance of the car and the luxury of the car. We have got two different examples. What models are these, and what are the differences between them and the different targets, perhaps, out there in the car buying market?
Sure. Obviously, these are our two newest entrants, I would say, to the vehicle lineup. We've got the 200S, which is targeted towards maybe a younger buyer, a hint of sportiness to it. So you can see it's got black accents on the exterior. It's got more of a sportier suspension to it as well. It's got this particular vehicle right here is coupled with a V8, which is 365 horsepower. So again, targeted towards a little bit more of a younger, sportier buyer. And then our other vehicle over here is the C Platinum, which is our highest in the price class lineup, which I should mention we have four. The entry level is limited. Then we have an S, which I just mentioned, a C, and then a C Platinum. So the C Platinum is our highest in our price class lineup, which comes standard with heated, ventilated front seats. It's got a leather-wrapped IP. So it's really, you look at what we offer as Chrysler 300, we spread kind of the gamut of different types of buyers within the industry. We look at, like I said, a sportier buyer with the S, and then this one has a little bit more hint of luxury to it. So for those people who are wanting to get into the full-size sedan and have some luxury appointments, such as leather-wrapped IP, heated and ventilated front seats, those types of things, we have the ability to kind of offer a lot to a lot of different customers.
And what is the Fiat contribution to this vehicle?
Interestingly, I think you can, from a from a C-Platinum perspective, one of the things that's new for us this year is we've got some stitched seating on the interior, some quilted seats. So I think what you would find is some Italian influence there that maybe we wouldn't have brought in some quilted, heated and ventilated front seats on the interior. And you also find that quilting pattern in the door trim as well. So again, maybe taking it just a little bit more upscale, and I think we can probably thank our Italian counterparts for that.
The Chrysler 300, a historic name. We all had someone in our family who had one. But the relaunch in the early 2000s, did you guys expect it was going to be as popular as it has become? And now do you feel an additional responsibility to keep that momentum as you bring this car forward?
Absolutely. I think for the people who know the 300, we're very excited about the relaunch of the car back in 2005. And I think we've opened up a lot of interest from other consumers, obviously. We have a lot of conquest sales, so people noticing the car just from a design perspective. And that's one of the things our customers love about the car is its design and the exterior styling. So we're getting a lot of people paying attention to the car, which piques their interest. And so with 2015, the additional exterior styling elements that we've made, and also the upgrade to the interior and all the best-in-class claims we have from infotainment to fuel economy to performance to things, creature comforts that the consumers are looking for, we're getting some really, really positive feedback.
Who are your clientele? You talk about conquests. Where are they coming from, and who are the people that love this car and are sticking with this brand?
Obviously, people shopping in the full-size segment were conquest sales we're getting from the other manufacturers, obviously. So we've roughly call it maybe about 55% of our sales come from outside of Fiat Chrysler Automobiles, which is great. We're getting a lot of people outside of our own loyalty base to come check out our vehicle.
John, I want to thank you for giving us some details to this new Chrysler 300. We're seeing it live in person for the very first time. It is a beautiful automobile. You must be so proud of your work. Congratulations, and thank you for sharing it with us.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
WFO Radio here at the Curtis Mansion, exploring the new Chrysler 300. We're here with Jo Ellen Phillips, is the executive director of the Curtis Mansion. She's going to give us a little bit of a lesson into the history of this facility and the man who built it. Jo Ellen, first of all, thank you very much for hosting us here today.
Oh, it is our pleasure, definitely.
So much history here. We're here to see the Chrysler 300S and talk about cars and whatnot. This man was into speed.
He was the fastest man in the world for 15 years. He held the land speed record. He went 136.36 miles per hour in 1907 on a motorcycle in Ormond Beach, Florida.
That is unbelievable. Of course, our audience, racers, race fans, car people, and he is in the Motorsports Hall of Fame of America.
Absolutely. He also held the airspeed record at the same time, but that was only 57.6 miles per hour.
Oh, my goodness. And got into the mechanized, motorized things with motorcycles after being in bicycles, as so many were of the time, into dirigibles, actually helped with the first powered blimp. Explain.
Yes, that was, Captain Tom Baldwin. He had been flying dirigibles out in California for many years, but he went up and he went wherever the wind pushed him. He heard about Curtis's engines, and so he went to see him in Hammondsport, New York. Curtis and created an engine just for him, and he became famous. But right after that, somebody else fairly famous heard about Curtis, too, and his engines, because he created what was called a tetrahedral kite, and that was Dr. Alexander Graham Bell, the phone guy. So he got hold of Curtis and asked him to come see him in Nova Scotia. When Curtis saw what he had invented, he said, well, don't quit your day job. I don't think this is going to fly, but they both were so enamored with what the other had to offer that they started the Aeronautical Experimental Club, AEA, and that became the licensing organization for the United States. So Curtis holds the first aviation license in the United States.
The first pilot's license.
That is correct. That is correct. And Dr. Alexander Graham Bell, they all created wonderful airplanes, and they went on. I know you know about the Jennies.
I know about the Jennies. We all know about the Jennies. If we've seen any barnstorming movie from early flight, we have seen the Jennies.
Yes, you have. And that's what made Curtis famous. And he went on before his death. He died at age 52. He had over 400 patents and 500 inventions to his name. He didn't sleep much.
What about this house? It is unique to the South Florida area. And frankly, growing up in this area, I did not hear a lot about Glenn H. Curtis. Is there a reason for that?
He did not have very good spin doctors, because right then the Wright brothers had just had the first flight, and so the world was focused on that. But Curtis had all of the inventions, and now he's coming. He's rising slowly but surely, and will take his place in history. This was his winter home here, and then he retired from upstate New York, and it became his permanent residence. But unfortunately, he died after living here only 5 years. But if you drive around Miami Springs, you'll see several other, well, about a dozen other buildings that look similar to this, the Pueblo style. And he had built those for his family and for business associates and friends who came down also with him, so they'd have a place to live.
As we cruised around, there was appeared to be maybe a church or a shopping mall, all in this style. So if we see this style, it's because of Mr. Curtis.
Yes, that is correct. But Curtis also did a lot of things here. He gave land for the first airport here in Miami, and which was incredible because we had all of South and Central America waiting for us to be the gateway there. Interestingly enough, we couldn't have any pilots here because the only right after World War I, it was still a draft period then, so they still had 5 years obligation into the reserves. And the closest reserve place was Pensacola. Now, in the 1920s, how long do you think it would take to get from Miami to Pensacola without expressways, airplanes, etc.? So a one-weekend thing turned into almost 10 to 14 days away from home. So what Curtis did, he was always solution-focused. Don't let a problem get in your way. Find the solution. So he gave the land out where Opa-locka Airport is now to the U.S. Navy, and they created a reserve there so they could train their pilots. Then Miami had pilots.
And my goodness.
The aviation got started here.
So the people of Miami owe this man, they may not know it, but a whole lot. Opa-locka Airport, the city of Hialeah, Opa-locka, Miami Springs, and Hialeah Park Racetrack. I thought that was cool. This is a place that I have loved going to my whole life. One of my favorite movies, Let It Ride, was shot there. Sinatra was there. Roosevelt was there. Kennedy was there. Mm-hmm. Mr. Curtis is the one who built it.
Yes. Well, he was a developer by the time he moved here. And how do you attract people here? You have to have something for them to do rather than swat mosquitoes at that time. And so he also built the Hialeah here, too. And there was, many other things. He also built in Hialeah the first film studio so that they could start making films here, attract others here, too.
A tremendous visionary, and we all live it every day. Now, you were explaining a little bit earlier something that is just super cool, a potential new sport that we're going to get to. Now, there's a big golf course right behind us, folks, and golf, we all love it. Tell us about Mr. Curtis, golf, and the sport that was spawned from the fact that he thought golf was too slow.
Yeah, Mr. Curtis was not a golfing fan because it was too slow. He was a man of speed. And he ran into a problem here because he still needed to attract other people into the area. So he was going to build a golf course. However, who was he going to get to build the golf course? Right at that point, he met the Seminole Tribe. And they were coming down the river that runs between Miami Springs and Hialeah every day from the reservation going to a place called Musa Isle, which is a tourist attraction. Now, this was long, long before the Seminoles invented casinos. So this was not a wealth-inducing entrepreneurship for them. But they were also taking back with them to the reservations the white man's diseases. The Indian medicine men did not know how to cure the white man's diseases. So Curtis sent his physicians to the reservation to teach the medicine men what to do. They started calling him Doc, and Curtis said, what you really need is to be able to make some good money. So he hired the tribe to build what is now Miami Springs Golf Course. And they would come down, but in the evening, after they were finished working, Curtis would go out to inspect what had happened during the day. The Indians now, most of them have taken up golf, but at that time, they were not interested. So they invented what was called archery golf at the time. They'd light the tips of the arrows and shoot them from hole to hole and then run and see if they could get there before the fire went out and have an evening filled with fun like that. And so they became very, very close. So out of the over 400 patents that Curtis got, his last 10 were created right here in the garage, and one of them was the airboat. And the reason for that was the Indians asked them to please come up and share their hospitality or reservation. So they came and picked him up in a dugout up the river. Well, it was a little bit too slow pace for Curtis. So he came back, tinkered a little bit with one of his engines, put it on one of the low boats he had. Now, I understand, we cannot verify this, but I understand the first time he tried it, it was a little bit too torqued overboard. So he adjusted it, and then he gave it to the tribe. And that really molded their friendship for life. Curtis then built the first state-chartered bank here in South Florida. But where did he put it? Right on the bank of the river. And he allowed the tribal members to come and do their banking here, which they had not been allowed in banks up to that point. So they would get dressed up and bring the children and go into the banks to do their banking. It's pretty cool.
Very cool. A very progressive thinking person, an innovator, an inventor, reaching out to the people from the area, trying to help them improve their lives. Just tremendous. Is there some place that our listeners and viewers can go to find out more information? We would love for them all to be able to come down here. I don't know. I know we just had an event here today. What is the facility used for? I know it was restored with money that was donated from the state. It actually had gone through a really downtime. Why don't you tell us about that? We almost lost this place, how it was brought back, and where people can go to find out more.
The mansion was built in 1925, and the Curtises lived here. Curtis died 5 years after in 1930. His wife remarried, and it became the Sayer Wheeler estate, her new husband. And they lived here, and when she was getting older and older, and she passed on, it was then given to Glenn Jr. And Glenn Jr. then sold it. And this was in the late 70s. And I'm sorry, the late 60s, excuse me. And it was sold to the Miami Springs Villas. And it became a pretty hot spot in Miami at that time. It was a 13-acre facility, and it had quite a few restaurants on it. As a matter of fact, another little tidbit that you're going to love, and that it had excellent food. Every day they went to markets to bring the food in.
How do you know I like food? What is it?
That's not the part I'm going to get to. Hold on. You're going to have to guess who this is. And they also had excellent entertainment, including Frank Sinatra, and right on down. Gene Krupa opened up the jazz club here. So, you know, you can understand the caliber. But it was a card membership that you would, if you had your card and wanted me to come with you, I would never know what the price was because you would then be billed at the end of the month for this. Also, where these stairs are here, that used to lead to an Olympic-sized swimming pool. And that was where the Eastern Airlines, they were called stewardesses. I'm not being politically incorrect. But
flight attendants.
Now flight attendants, but they were called stewardesses at the time. And the life expectancy of a stewardess was just a few years because you had to be a certain height, a certain weight, and not married. Okay. And so once they passed that, they were out. So they ran 1,200 stewardesses through here a year. And in the pool is where they would do their ditch exercises. And that's when they call it ditching, when the plane goes down, and they would practice all of that. Next to it, there was a little clubhouse, and it was the Airport Executives Club. They had a giant picture window in it that looked out over the pool. Pretty cool. I mean, the stewardesses and the, you know, all this. And then these clubs.
Working on safety, of course. We're all very safety focused.
Absolutely. And so there was a gentleman who came down to take a look at this, and he got his idea here from Miami Springs.
I'm gonna guess. Okay, can I guess? Can I cut you off? Can I do this? I have no idea. This is a guess. Hugh Hefner, the grotto for the Playboy Mansion.
Bravo. You win.
I win! I'm a winner. I knew it. I saw the grotto. We talked about the grotto. Tell me. Continue your story. I'm just so happy I knew.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So this is where he got his whole thing going. And we're happy he did. You know,
we are at the birthplace of the Playboy Mansion grotto. Is that what you're telling us?
The Playboy Mansion clubs, not just a grotto. No, that's how he got the idea for the whole idea for the Playboy clubs. So. Anyway, so we digress, but back to Curtis.
Always. The whole show is a big digression. You got to understand. Okay, so back to
yes.
The Playboy Mansion, grottos and clubs.
And Curtis. Okay. All right. Anyway, so when Curtis died, this is what happened, you know, and the place was then abandoned after a while because they just couldn't keep it up. Because it is a historic site, both nationally and locally designated. And it went through 15 years of neglect. During that time, there were three arson fires. The fires burned the roof, and the second floor fell onto the first floor. So four groups before us tried to resurrect it. Couldn't do it. So it was on the list to be torn down. And you've been in it today. That would have been pretty tragic, wouldn't it? So we finally said, okay, there were 15 of us who probably are certifiable, but we just linked arms and we said we're going to do it. And we did. I won't go through the whole process, but 9/11 interfered. So it took a lot longer than what we had. 9/12, all the money we had raised disappeared. So we had to start all over again. But here it is. And I'm glad you're here today.
We are so excited to be here. Where can we find out more information? People out there on the web, around the world, if they want to look at photographs, of course, we'll post our own. But where can they find out more information about this great place?
CurtisMansion.org. That's C-U-R-T-I-S-S. Two S's in Curtis. CurtisMansion.org.
Joellen, thank you very much for the history lesson. Pleasure. Greatly appreciate it. Thank you for having us out here at this wonderful event.
Thank you for being here. We love having you here. It was great. And everybody, buy a Chrysler.
Yes. How about that? Out there at the Curtis Mansion, the Playboy Mansion Grotto was designed after the grotto at the Curtis Mansion. The Playboy Clubs, the whole Hugh Hefner, everything experience was based on the experience at the Curtis Mansion. How cool is that? Just the historical significance. And we got invited to bring our whole WFO crew there, she said. She said, bring your people out. Come out. We'll have a thing. At the time she was saying that, I kind of felt like she thought we were, you know, bigger than we are or something. I don't know. But very cool, very interesting stuff.
Like she didn't know what she was getting into.
She definitely doesn't want a bunch of us WFOers out there hanging out at the Curtis Mansion. But definitely check it out. I think you'll like it. All right, I'm going to open the phones. Phones are open. Just like that, Giovanni, Miami. And we'll see if anyone calls in. 954-889-6796. That is 954-889-6796. And I have definitely put you in an awkward position.
Yeah, I know. You just get to see people watching me click and go all over the net looking for the stuff to be a good producer over here.
Yeah, exactly.
You're stepping away from the mic.
It's all turning to crap. But we are now up to speed.
Oh, you got enough juice there? What are you up to, 22?
I'm up to 28. The new iPhone charges a lot quicker than the previous one. Oh, now we're up to 14, man.
14?
It's all happening. Like, that
oh
is on
God,
there. It's out of control, this guy with the mic. Who knows what's going on?
The guy with the mic.
Dan Bennett, everyone is on there.
Yep.
It's crazy.
Rick.
But what it's really doing, though, is killing the rest of the show because everyone hates it like poison. And that's why. But look what I'm about to do. Entertain the audience.
Well, you want me to entertain the audience? What do you want me to entertain them with? Any kind of... What did I have?
You're going blue right away.
What do you mean I'm going blue? Like I'm choking?
Like,
I'm bringing down the show?
Profane humor.
I did not say anything.
You were about to.
No, I was just going to go into Formula One or something like that.
Well, we don't have a hippie tippy.
There's no hippie tippy?
No.
There's a race this week.
I know. It's very disappointing.
I got to say, I was a bad producer. I did not reach out to Rich York today. He and I are normally texting back and forth about this kind of stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Imagine that.
Hey
well,
there.
Well, regardless.
Where's the tippy? Here it goes. I just sent out the text. Hey there, where's the tippy?
Yeah, what gives? We'll see. Maybe he was on live last week, so he wants to be on live again this week. Who knows? But we do have Bob Smith and Tommy for when we make our picks. And usually, I don't want to talk Formula One until we have the hippie tippy.
Absolutely. I do know that Bob Smith made his phone call.
Yes,
I got that message.
I have that.
But I do not see a Tommy confirmation of his. Was not able to confirm Tommy's.
Oh, he's on there.
Oh, he's on there.
Yeah,
we got
him.
Call?
All right. Good.
So
good
then the calls are in. We're ready for that.
Toyota Grand Prix of Long Beach. Scott Dixon wins. Elio second. Juan Pablo Montoya was third. It was the cars look fast. That's my thing. I just got to see the cars looking fast. Out at NOLA in Louisiana, I figured out why I couldn't get into it. This happens to me every year. If you're a longtime WFO radio listener, you know that this happens to me every year, which is this. I like IndyCar. I enjoy IndyCar. IndyCar is cool, but their season starts off very, very slowly. And I don't know why. I like St. Petersburg. But this race got me going now. I feel like I'm into it. And seeing the Indy cars and the Formula One cars go back to back, I'm wondering, like, which is faster? And could you tell me? Because I don't know. I don't know which is faster. If an Indy car and a Formula One car ran on the same track, the Formula One car would most certainly be quicker in terms of a lap time, but the Indy cars would be gaining on the straights, bigger engines, much bigger engines. And now they've got all that downforce. Like, do we know? The answer is no. Suddenly the question, they're back in question. And isn't that a great question to have? Isn't it? I think it is. Quick reminder, we'll be out there in Houston, Royal Purple Raceway, for the NHRA O'Reilly Auto Parts Spring Nationals. And hopefully, WFO radio listeners will be there. This whole meerkat thing.
The hippie's on vacation. That's what he's saying here. I don't know if that means vacation from the show or vacation from his real responsibilities. I'm like, you know, as you could imagine, I texted back an expletive and vacation.
Question mark.
So we'll see what happens.
Well, we'll go without a hippie tippy if that's the case. Yeah. All right, so we got no tippy or hippie? We got neither? Or both?
Well, there's a response on the way, you know, the little downloading. Yeah.
Don't worry.
Well, we could do it right now.
I'm doing
the
fantasy results right now.
Yeah. Yes.
Doing the results right now. I don't have time to wait for this guy. We just heard all that great stuff. Glenn Hammond, Curtis. Curtis Manchin invented the Aileron, was being sued by the Wright brothers. That's one you don't hear every day, is that the Wright brothers actually were very into suing everybody. If it had wings and it came on our shore, they sued you. You don't hear that very often.
Oh, kind of like patent trolls.
Yes.
I mean, you know, before patent trolls existed.
They were maybe the first.
But, right.
Exactly. Oh, that thing's got wings
but
on
no,
it.
But no, I would say they actually did something and invented something, whereas a lot of these people that are patent trolls just kind of patent some weird thing and then go after corporations that use something, anything similar. That, like, they really don't do anything.
I wish I had
They're
something
just people that make their money from suing different people and settling out of court. They don't really make anything. They don't produce anything. Essentially, they're...
You sound like Mark Cuban.
Yeah, well, I guess I watch too much of the Shark Tank.
Too much Shark Tank for you. You sound just like Cuban. I hear Cuban's voice coming out of your mouth.
Can Cuban buy the Yanks?
No, he doesn't have enough money. He would need to put together a larger group.
Oh, we don't know that.
All right, so here's what we've got. WFO Radio Fantasy League results. The weekly winner, it is a tie between Fort Zilch Racing and DRT99, each with 320. Team Strange has 318, and then a huge drop-off to Hooper, 293. Barbecue Bob with 289. No Heartbeat Racing at 275. PDX Paddy Wagon at 273. Edgar Mellencamp Racing, 261. 8-5 Racing at 260. And JG24LKB rounding out the top 10 with 257. So you're in the top 10 at 250.
I know who that is.
Oh, yeah? Who is it?
One guess.
But see, now the Meerkat audience cannot hear.
Oh, because you moved.
Because
the
I
thing.
Moved.
Well, hey, moved the gotta thing. Do what you gotta do.
Go ahead, Rich.
Hello.
Hello,
well, there's
Rich.
There's a disclaimer now on the thing, so.
Oh boy, what? Oh, he's been drinking.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I know that
he's been consuming. He's been consuming.
Consuming.
We don't want to use the
consuming
term
food, mass quantities. Yeah, what's up, Rich? Try to pull it together for the hippie tippy, but we're about to give the scores. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Okay. Sounds pretty normal to me. I feel
sounds
like he's
good.
Doing
he
good so
good.
Far. He's got it handled so far, but we're only in the first minute. The leader is the Rumblers. They are holding the lead by 49 points over DRT99, followed by Up in Smoke and Brian in Louisiana. Brian is hanging in there pretty strong. Mr. Where Did He Come From is fifth, followed by Hooper, who is sixth, 117 out, still very tight. Seventh is JR2448, followed by the Aussie Battler, the Money Man, 144. He dropped down two positions. And Big Mike rounding out the top 10. Now, on the fives, 15th is the Fuel Tank Gambler, 177 out. 20th is No Heartbeat Racing, 221 out. 25th, Fairy Dust. I'm just waiting to hear the sound
effect. Fairy.
There it is. Fairy Dust. See? Yeah.
I had my finger on it. It just wasn't working.
And the button, too. You don't have to force it. Fairy Dust will fall on the five.
You fairy.
down 11 positions. That's a horrific, nightmarish deal. 30th, Flashover Racing, up 14. That's big, past me, in fact. Well, we are both 30th. Me and Flashover, tied with 2049. I did drop only six positions. I'll take it, all things considered, scoring 157. 35th is Black Ice. Who was it the other day was asking about Black Ice? Somebody, in fact, posted a photograph in our Facebook group about Black Ice. Like, what happened to the guy? Once upon a time, he was on top of the world. But now he's toiling down in 35th. You haven't heard from him. Where's he been? He's like the Birdman of fantasy players.
Won't be seeing him no more.
40th, Goodyear Racing, Justin Clapper. 45th, Kyle Means Petty. 50th, Uper 88, who is just ahead of Dear Lord Baby Jesus. And Clearside. 55th, Vegas Rules and Woodchuck are tied, who are just ahead of you, Gio. Hey, you're up 12 positions to 57th. You had a huge week.
Really?
60th is South Dakota Alicia, who's leading the Bug Barn by a little bit. 66th is Mrs. Black Ice. 68th is Mrs. Dirty Hippie. 70th is Aviator Racing. 75th is Super Crash. I like that name. Super Crash. It's a cool name. 80th is Moonchild, who is right behind Miss Little Low, who is struggling along. Millerman is 86th. James Gang and Federal Racing are 84th and 85th. Dirty Hippie's 88th. He's on the line. You're not on the fives. Dirty Hippie's down one. How do you drop from down there? How do you find a way to lose positions, Rich?
I'm pretty happy that Millerman has decided to join me. We're having a party down at the bottom, and you guys are not invited.
Wait a second. What do you mean we're not invited? We can come if we want to. We'll be down there.
Invite only.
I'm going to show you a thing or two. I'm going to tank a team and be down there and last with you. See if it happens. And then, let's see. Bark Dem Tires. Rudolph Motorsports 1264. Bark Dem Tires and Car Acrobatic Team is still dead last, but gaining some ground on Pugzilla. Gaining some ground. 130 behind Pugzilla. Pugzilla, you don't want to let Car Acrobatic Team
pass
you.
No, but the Paddy Wagon moved up. Wasn't he the one that scored a lot
Paddy
of points?
Paddy Wagon yet? Has passed Pugzilla in
Paddy
the battle
Wagon
for last.
Paddy Wagon was 7 for 273 for the week. So
hawking stuff. And there are your fantasy scores. Now it's time for your Dirty Hippie Fantasy Tippy for Richmond.
There is no tippy. I don't care.
What do you mean you don't care? What's going on?
Nothing. Chase Elliott's in this race, so you probably should waste him on a C. Looks like Kyle Busch is coming back in July, so you probably want to use up David Reagan because he's not worth anything the rest of the year. And Dale Jr. and then all the Gibbs guys are going to be good at Richmond. So those are the guys you want to use.
There it is. And this is your – let's hear the outro.
It's Dirty Hippies. And that's your crappy tip of the week.
You are not very happy. Now, the Rich matchups thing, that was going real good. I hear you're 2 for 2 now. You're on you're really picking the matchups.
Three, actually.
I am the judge of this, and I will say that he gave 2 picks this past week, which put him at 3-0 on the Geo scale over here. And just for the record, he picked Tony Stewart to finish above Clint Bowyer and Tony Stewart to finish above Greg Biffle. So it was counting on Stewart Resurrection Week, and he came through with a 6th-place finish, and we are cashing tickets at the window with Rich left and right.
You guys are like
3-0
degenerate gamblers.
Nice $500 check coming my way.
Wow. Well, let's not talk about that because it's for entertainment purposes only, of course.
Well, it's Monopoly money.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
But that would make you up $300, Rich, not $500. I don't know what.
Oh.
You didn't say that it was...
I didn't think you would be able to handle the math, so I just...
Well, I didn't know you wanted me to put 2 units on it.
Let's not get personal. All right, and speaking of which, let's talk Formula One in Bahrain. Lewis Hamilton dominates the race, but Kimi Raikkonen now, just 3 seconds behind, takes away second from Nico Rosberg, went up and passed a Mercedes. How about that? And Valtteri Bottas was 4th. Sebastian Vettel was 5th, had some problems. But still, Ferrari is on the charge, Rich.
They're doing good, man. I'm pretty enthusiastic about their performance. But and I'm always going to like Kimi, no matter what. I know I'm a Vettel guy, but since he ran in the truck race, you got to like him. You just can't hate him. He come down and raced with our guys, but... I just don't understand. If you're going to damage your wing, why not shoot for a podium? Don't come in and pit and change your wing and just, you know, you're going to lose it. Stay out. See what happens. Maybe it's not that bad. I don't understand.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Got back to fifth, though, and the maybe they're thinking that constructors, getting second in the constructors is going to be huge. But right now, though, Lewis Hamilton is just on rails, and it's going to take a lot to knock him off. Parts failures, I don't know. While at the same time, Alonso, able to bring home an 11th in the McLaren, their best finish, that's kind of an interesting story.
I think Honda's on their way. I mean, they got nowhere to go but up, and everyone else, I don't think they have the money. If Honda obviously has the money, so they're going to be the guys that they're going to be, you know, eighth, ninth place come soon, probably next race.
There is an interesting story out there about the technology in the Honda engine that said that the guys at Honda, they went like crazy with the technology, knowing that they had to put stuff in place that was going to enable them to advance beyond Mercedes, and that it's going to pay dividends down the road. An interesting story, though, from the Express.UK, that Mika Hakkinen is saying that Fernando Alonso has lost his nerve, and that Alonso is talking about, quote-unquote, things that are more important than winning, and there's more to life, and when Mika Hakkinen says, you are right, if you start talking about things more important than winning, or this is more important than racing, then something is not matching. And so now people are starting to question Alonso's drive and determination for Formula One racing. Wow, I think that is a huge story if it is in fact true.
He did run the big red sled last year, so, I mean, there is some truth to that statement. That thing was scary. But if you got no chance of winning, I mean, why talk about it? I mean, why talk about fairy tales? I mean, all you got to do, all they're worried about is getting in the points right now. So winning doesn't really enter in their minds. He's being realistic.
Well, yeah, exactly. But it just shows you the politics of Formula One, how the knives come out, man. That's it. Everyone is commenting and talking and thinking about what's up to be Fernando Alonso. And as Ferrari gets better, that Maurizio Arrivabene, this guy's a hero. He is. Look at what he has done.
Sounds like sour grapes to me.
It could be as well. All right, Rich.
I mean, you can't really nag on the guy. I mean, I didn't like him. I never liked Alonso, but he's a good driver. I mean, I don't think he's lost his edge. I mean, if he can get that piece of crap to 11th, I mean, there's no way he's lost his edge.
I felt that same way, that the fact that he got that car to 11th is what we should be talking about. Like, that's a monster drive by Alonso.
Button's nowhere close. Nowhere close. And Alonso's way ahead. So obviously he's driving the crap out of that car.
Look, there is no doubt, you mentioned the red sled, that the talent that Fernando Alonso has displayed over the past couple of years is over. Like, I think that he has demonstrated that he can be the best. And there were many races where we were blown away by what he was doing with the Ferrari, which was clearly garbage.
Let's not go that far, okay?
But now...
Vettel by far is superior.
But now, the fact that they're questioning his motivation just like that, it's brutal. It is a brutal situation.
Well, what's with all the talking behind Alonso's back? They said that he thought he was a teenager when he crashed, that he was out cold. I mean, questioning this guy
the
left
crash,
and right.
The way that Formula One gossip...
Oh, it's much worse than anything we've got here.
Much worse. But the English tabloids, you know, the European tabloids, are much worse than what we have here also. Although it is starting to get
bad. They make TMZ look like...
Like the Mirror.
Girl Scouts.
Well, they're breaking into people's personal voicemails and stuff. Remember, that was a whole big thing. Breaking into voicemails, downloading and stealing people's private information to find out the stories. That's par for the course over there.
Who leaves voicemail anymore? Everybody texts. I mean, it's probably fake.
I leave voicemails.
Yeah, and you're like 50 years old. Of course you do.
I'm not 50 years old. Listen, I'm on Twitter. You're not even doing the Twitter thing. We're meerkatting right now, man. We're on the cutting edge of the technological revolution.
I don't know what that Russian space technology you have is, but I'm going to have to say you're some sort of communist. Meerkat sounds very Russian.
It's not Russian. It's probably, African. Meerkat.
It sounds like a Russian spaceship. Space station.
Oh, like Mir. I understand what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah, like the Mir space station.
Like the Mir space station, like Sputnik, like Yuri Gagarin. I get it. You follow the comedy.
Can you get some sort of like super cool USA name and do that instead?
Yes. We're going to download this new streaming app that we created called WFO USA Number One.
I would enjoy that. I'm sure everyone else will too.
Absolutely. Meerkat, like the animal, Rich. You know, it pops up out of its hole and looks around. Meerkat.
We are friends now, so I guess we do need to give it a chance.
Exactly. All right, Rich, we're going to move on, but thank you very much for doing this live hippy-tippy here on the Ignition Show.
Thanks for sending me 60 text messages and then blowing me off the air after 3 minutes. I appreciate it.
you know, we got to move on, man. The poker guys are at the door.
Yes, I know. You're busy. You're a busy duo.
Definitely. Definitely. The Meerkat is about to run out of battery, and we have to recharge it.
All right.
There he goes. All right, Rich.
Look, somebody even wants to follow Rich on Twitter.
Yeah, Rich is not on Twitter.
Well, Rich doesn't want
to... People have been calling in. They want to call in. They were trying to bump Rich off the air. Rich had called on the wrong line.
No, he's upset that...
Of course he's upset.
And I told him to call the landline.
He's furious.
What are you going to do? That's the hippie for you.
I can hear the seething hatred in his voice.
Vacation? What is that? I didn't know the hippie got a vacation. I never get vacation time over here. Where's my vacation time? We do a show every week, 52 weeks a year.
Yes.
Two, three shows a week.
We don't ever take vacation here on WFO Radio, which is a good thing. But, you know, if we were on vacation, you know where I would like to go? I'd like to be out there in Fontana, California right now, participating in the Dragster Adventure at Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. One of our great sponsors, and if you have never checked them out, go to frankhawley.com, or you can check out our Nitro show and just listen to Frank. He was on. You may have noticed, listeners, that we are highlighting and featuring the people behind the sponsorships on WFO. We are working our best to try to pave a trail with this show that listeners, I know it might not be the greatest today, but... We are trying our best to make sure that people around the world have something to entertain them for a couple of hours. And some days are going to be great, and other days are going to be not so great. But it's going to be there. Like Gio says, we don't go on vacation. We figure out how to get you something. It's like the little hamster inside the little tank, and he goes over to the food and gets the pellet. Got to eat the pellet. Well, we have to produce the pellet, and we produce the pellet every week. There's something there. There's always a pellet for you to consume. It might be 20 minutes sometimes. We've done that in the past, but the pellet is always there. We have tried using a new thing called SoundCloud, which I will talk to you about. It's not new to the world. It's just new to us. It's kind of interesting. But the reason the show happens is because of sponsors like Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. So you need to go get out the envelope. And in the envelope, you place a couple extra bucks, whatever you have. Is it quarters? Is it a Susan B. Anthony dollar? Is it a Sacagawea? What is it? But you stuff it in the envelope, and then you put the envelope back wherever it goes. And at some point, you're going to reach your grand total, and you're going to be able to go on the Dragster Adventure and accelerate from 0 to 60 miles per hour in 3 seconds and go to 130 miles per hour and control your race car and get the feeling and the great sensation that makes racers go back again and again and again. And who knows, maybe you'll start your own career. Maybe you'll want to do this as a hobby, or maybe you are a corporate guy and you have a sales team or a group of clients or a bachelor party or some people you want to bring out and have them have the greatest experience of their whole lives. If that is the case, go to frankhawley.com to find out more information and check out the schedule for the Dragster Adventure. They're going to be down in Houston, Texas in a couple of weeks, like Archie Bell and the Drells from Houston, Texas. They're going to tighten up down there. If anyone is getting that reference, please let me know. 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223 for Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School and the Dragster Adventure. We'll be back with our picks for Richmond when we return, and then after that, I will tell my adult-themed story. It'll be earmuffs time. Right here on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
Hi, I'm Larry Dixon. You know, there's more to racing than pushing a top-fuel dragster down the track at over 325 miles an hour in less than 4 seconds. Like in any business, it takes careful planning and hard work. YourVelocity.com provides the tools and information you need to effectively start, grow, and run a successful business. I'm excited to work with Velocity, not only as a spokesperson, but as a client. So don't spin your wheels. Visit YourVelocity.com today.
WFO Radio t-shirts are now available. Wear your WFO with pride. Supplies are limited. Click WFO Store to order yours today.
Hey everybody, Joe here, and I hereby decree on behalf of the WFO universe, the winter is over, which means it's time to grill. Get yourself some Rodak's Coffee and Grills.com, barbecue, spice rub, hot sauce, and of course, incredible coffee. They've got the WFO radio blend, they've got the Bang the Blower, they've got the exotics. It's all roasted fresh per your order, representing the top 5% of coffee throughout the world. Go to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com or give Marvin a call. 817-924-6821 for RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com.
Android and iPhone users, download the WFO Radio app. It's sports radio for racing fans.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
The ultimate racing show, including WFO Radio NHRA Nitro, WFO Radio Ignition, the WFO Radio NASCAR Tailgate Party, news, videos, push notifications, and more.
I just hope I'm part of it.
Go to the App Store or Android Market, search WFO Radio, and download it now.
Hey, race fans, first you need to know I'm not an attorney at Spiegel & Utrera, PA. Spiegel & Utrera, PA's General Counsel Club can assist you with tough legal and business questions at crucial times. And right now, from New York City to Los Angeles, Chicago to Miami, and points in between, WFO radio listeners can receive a 30-day free membership in the Spiegel & Utrera, PA General Counsel Club. They can assist with trademarks and copyrights, converting hobby expenses into legitimate business expenses, how to buy or sell a business, contracts and legal documents, and more. Click the AmeriLawyer.com banner ad and enter your email address and receive a 30-day free membership in the Spiegel & Utrera, PA General Counsel Club. And remember, knowledge is power.
WFO.
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 Totally nonstop WFO, baby.
Here's your host, Joe Costello.
WFO.
Take me to the action. Take me to the track. Take me to a party. If they're sitting in the back, I've been working all my life. Can't afford to wait. Let me call my wife so I can tell her I've been late. I want to ease
Vegas, baby. Vegas. Vegas, baby. Vegas. It's that time of the week again, where the WFO Radio Handicappers pick you winners for this weekend's NASCAR Sprint Cup Series action at Richmond International Raceway, the Toyota Owners 400, one of my favorite racetracks, D-shaped three-quarter mile oval, and we're going to pick winners. And last week, Bob Smith picked a winner.
That's right. Bob picks a winner.
Bob picking a winner. And so how many winners is that for the show on the season? That's a whole bunch. You're the statistician, right?
Well, yes, 6 winners.
That's not true. You just made that up.
I did not.
Really? It's 6 winners?
Yeah, 6 out of 8.
Well, that's pretty impressive.
I mean, I think I'm
Well, remember, we started off with the potential for the perfect season.
That's why. No, I'm not making it up. I know there's actually one in dispute. I'm sorry.
I understand. There's one in dispute. Yes, let's not talk about that. Let's not go there. But yes. And I'll take it, though. I'll take the victory. We'll just add it on to the pile and make sure it is happening. Oh, look, an interstellar space oddity has followed me. That's a little frightening. You know, some of the people out there on Twitter, I got to say, some of it's a little scary. A little bit. One of the biggest game changers in content delivery in a long time says, Dan, what's up, WFO Joe? Hey, Dan. You know what I would really love is if my tweets at me scrolled as opposed to, you know, I have to reload when it comes on. Here are the odds for the Toyota Owners 400 at Richmond International Raceway. The favorite, as seen by the folks at William Hill, the home of betting, is Kevin Harvick, 5-1. That makes sense. Brad Keselowski is 11-2. Jeff Gordon is 15-2. Jimmy Johnson is 15-2. Joey Logano is 17-2, along with Matt Kenseth. Dale Earnhardt Jr. and Kurt Busch are 10-1. And 12-1, Carl Edwards is the final driver available for our favorite pick. Now the dark horses. 15-1 or greater. Denny Hamlin is 15-1, along with Kasey Kahne, KFK, is 15-1. Kyle Larson is 20-1. At 25-1, you have Ryan Newman. At 30-1, you got Jamie McMurray. At 40-1, you've got Clint Bowyer, Martin Truex Jr., and Tony Stewart. At 60-1, you've got Paul Menard and David Reagan. At 75-1, you've got Greg Biffle and Austin Dillon. At 150-1, you've got Ricky Stenhouse Jr., the boyfriend, and Brent Moffitt, 150. Also, A.J. Allmendinger, 150. Eric Almirola is 150. Danica Patrick, 200-1. Sam Hornish Jr., 300-1. And the field is 100-1. That is all drivers not named on the odds sheet. The order is Bob, Tom, Giovanni, and I am going last once again, having a nightmarish year. And are you ready to go there, Giovanni? Are you ready to roll?
Yeah.
You're ready.
I mean, as far as I know, I'm ready. I don't have anything that I need to play or something.
Let's
right?
make the
I mean, you got me confused now.
Let's make the picks for the Toyota Owners 400. Here's Bob Smith.
Hey, guys, WFO. Hey, first off, I want to give a shout-out to Steve Burns. Just thank you, man. It's, you know, I really enjoyed everything you've done over the years. You will be missed. So my prayers go out to you and your family. All right, so it's Saturday night short track racing for us here at Richmond. As Joe already talked about, you got Kevin Harvick as the favorite. Since I won last week, I'm going to come back, you know, and I don't know how I won because watching that race, that marathon, it's amazing that I got there, but I did. So for my pick, I'm going to come right back with Kevin Harvick. I mean, if you look, he led, I don't know, close to 200 laps before unfortunateness happened at Bristol. He does well here. He was first at Phoenix. He dominated Phoenix. I don't see any reason he's not going to dominate here. So for my favorite, I'm going to go with Kevin Harvick. Now, for my long shot, I think I am getting a great price. If you look at Phoenix, the guy that finished second at Phoenix, okay, Jamie Mack, I'm getting 30-1. I mean, they're just giving me the money. So that's my long shot. I'm going to go with Jamie Mack. And so Jamie Mack is my long shot. Kevin Harvick is my favorite. And, you know, just let's go racing here. I'm a little disappointed that the top 10 streaks ended this last week with the rain and the red flags and accidents and everything else that was going on. But you know what? We're just going to start new streaks. Bob winning two in a row. All righty. Thanks, guys. Enjoy the races. And remember, it's Saturday night.
Saturday night, this Saturday night, under the lights, Richmond International Raceway, NASCAR Sprint Cup Series action. Kevin Harvick, Jimmy Johnson, Tony Stewart, Danica Patrick, Jeff Gordon, Dale Earnhardt Jr., all battling out in the South's ultimate track, Richmond International Raceway. And that is Bob Smith. Now let's hear, what do you think of his picks? I love them. What are you going to say to Kevin Harvick?
I mean, Kevin Harvick is just totally dominating the year so far. There's really nothing else to say. He was going to win last week, too, until Jimmy decided to punt Landon Castle out of the way.
Yep.
And that's it. Harvick is... am I crazy here saying that Harvick has been more dominant so far this year than even Jimmy was in all those years winning the championship? Like, he was not that dominant in any one particular year.
This run of domination that Kevin Harvick has had is only rivaled by Jeff Gordon winning five races in a row, which, you know, he won five races in a row. That was, I guess, in 1998. But this period of dominance, and even this race, he got taken out in someone else's mess, but...
But he was dominating the race there, too.
And I think it's good for the sport. We're witnessing something special. If Kevin Harvick went out and won another title real quick, bang, bang, it would be good. People like dynasties. Like this dynasty, the Tommy Noodles dynasty. Tommy is picking second. Let's hear who Tommy picks in this weekend's NASCAR Sprint Cup Series action.
WFO. It's that time of week where we get to make our picks and this one was actually kind of hard. I looked over the sheet several times. I wasn't sure who to go with. There's a lot of great racing going on. There's a lot of good teams. You know, we're now in the NASCAR where you have to win to be in. So, yeah, you have to break out the graphs and charts and see what happens. So, yeah, I looked at, I never know if I should go with my favorite or my long shot first, but, you know, I well want it to be a surprise, right? So, let's get right off the bat and say that my favorite, you know, you look at everybody, you know, you got your Jimmy Johnson and your Kevin Harvick, shoo-ins to win. But, you know, there are some other people. It is Richmond, so let's go with Dale Earnhardt Jr. I know, it's a big shock to a lot of people. No, don't pick him. But, you know, I'm actually doing pretty good this year. So if you look at the stats on how I'm doing this year, let's just stick with it. And then I've got a theme going this week. So for my long shot, I decided to go with another junior. I'm going with Martin Truex Jr., who, you know, has taken his team. And, you know, after what Kurt Busch did with it, it's actually starting to get back to where he was. And I think that they're running up front. They actually got a team together that might be able to pull this off. So let's go long shot, Martin Truex, favorite, Dale Earnhardt Jr., and then those will be my picks. I will talk to you next week.
There he goes, Tommy Noodles making his picks. Tommy Noodles taking Junior and Junior, Martin Truex Jr. and Dale Earnhardt Jr., and of course the Dale Jr. fans, collective sigh of discontent. Bit of a bummer there, but what are you going to do? Tommy picked him. It's his right. And he has been picking pretty well this year. He won a couple times. So there you have it. Next up, Giovanni in Miami. Make your picks.
Well, all right, all right, all right. I'm up. We're headed to Richmond, the capital of the Confederacy. And what is there to say other than that Kevin Harvick has been dominant? The tracks that this is similar to is Phoenix. He dominated the one race we had there. So Bob is all over it. I expect Harvick to go out there and win. I will be looking for some of the matchups with Rich as the better plays for the weekend, because what's going on here with these odds, I don't see anybody that is really as close to Harvick as the odds suggest. But this is a pick show, and we're going to go with it. As I look up and down the odds here, I got to go with Jeff Gordon. While he hasn't won here since 2000, by what I'm seeing here, why, it seems like a really long time ago, he does have two wins. He historically runs very well here. I think he came in second last year, or what have you. But either way, Jeff Gordon to win, coming back from two laps down last week, he's going to get a win in his final year. He's got to get into the chase, so give me Jeff Gordon. And going into the long shots here, I'm not going to mess around. I don't know how you guys missed this. I do think that Bob's pick of McMurray was great. And, well, whatever Tommy does is great, just because Tommy's doing it. But how did you guys miss Denny Hamlin in Virginia? Homegrown boy. He always seems to run well here and at Martinsville. I know he had an incident where he had the stiff neck last week or what have you, whatever happened. And people are questioning his toughness around here. I don't know who it was that did that. But Denny Hamlin at Richmond, how can you not go with that? So give me Gordo and Hamlin. Take your ticket to the window.
Wow. Says Giovanni Miami takes Jeff Gordon and Denny Hamlin. And a very dramatic presentation, Giovanni. That was really good. I like that a lot. We need to do that every week. You really brought it. Was it because the Meerkat camera was pointed at you?
Well, yeah. I was trying to keep my camera presence, but
yeah, no, it was great. It was excellent stuff. All right, but now it's up to me. And very interesting because Bob and Tom had delayed sending in their picks, and Gio hadn't made his picks, and so I hadn't made my picks. And I couldn't make my picks until Gio made his picks, and now that Gio has made his picks.
Well, but I made my pick hours ago. I know you hadn't noticed, but I
hadn't noticed.
I'll be honest with you. I made my picks while I was driving here.
You please be honest with me all the time.
I do, sometimes okay. brutally honest, and then you get offended
but
by it.
But since you made your picks, now I will make my picks, and then our picks will be made. You understand. So Gio takes Jeff Gordon, and that leaves, look, I am going to go right back with Brad Keselowski. I thought Brad had a, that was a bummer of a week. I think he got in the rain, never got to show what he was capable of. Clearly, it's Hendrick, it's Penske in terms of equipment. Give me Brad Keselowski. Joy could win. Kenseth could win, clearly. Kurt Busch had a really good car also. But give me Brad K. He didn't get to flex any muscle last week at Bristol. So Brad K at 11-2. That's my pick. Now, as far as dark horses go, the reason everyone stayed away from Denny Hamlin is because of the pinched nerve, the neck problems that he's having. He says he's going to be back and he's going to be fine, but this is more of the ghostly shadows of the incident with Joy, Joey Logano. And it is a lesson to all you kids out there that when you lose, you know, your actions can stay with you for many years later. You don't even realize it. At the time, who knew that years later this would still be affecting him in some weird ways? Terrible, terrible example, terrible thing to have to learn from, but let's all learn from Denny's mistake. And Denny Hamlin, who knows how this is going to affect him. But I agree, though. I think he's got the what it takes in Virginia. But I'm going to go with someone else. I've been debating whether to go with KFK, who got his first win at Richmond and is in Hendrick equipment. And how can this guy not figure it out at some point? I really think Dale Jr. is going to win the race, but Tommy already picked Dale Jr., and I don't want to pick the same guy Tommy picks.
Oh, yeah, no, Tommy picking Dale Jr., you know what's going to happen to poor Dale.
Well, I really think Dale Jr. is going to win the race. They are, that's what I really think, or Gordo. But I can't go with those guys. But I thought, Hendrick Carr. But instead, I'm going to flip the script.
Junior hasn't won at Richmond since 06.
I know.
Spring race. And,
but he's due. But I'm going to go with Kyle Larson. 20-1. I think this is a racetrack where Casey Kane, sprint car driver, got his first win. Kyle Larson was looking pretty good out there in Bristol. I think this track, it's a little flatter. It's a lot more like the tracks Kyle Larson has been successful at. And I'm picking Larson. I don't have a whole lot of choice, but I really like that Kyle Larson pick, so put me down for that. And I really feel like I got a very good shot to pick first next week after winning for my first time here in 2015. Who would have thunk it, right? I haven't won yet. It's shocking. But to recap the picks, I took Kyle Larson and Brad Keselowski. Gio took Jeff Gordon and someone, Denny Hamlin. Bob Smith, or Tommy Noodles, took Martin Truex Jr. and Dale Earnhardt Jr., and Bob Smith takes Jamie McMurray and Kevin Harvick. And those are the picks for the Toyota Owners 400 at Richmond International Raceway.
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Vegas, baby, Vegas. I thought that picks segment went well. And I've been promising at the tail end of the show I would tell an adult-themed story about Meerkat and what it is all about. It's kind of interesting stuff. I do want to remind everybody, today is Earth Day, the day that we're recording the show, Earth Day. Think globally, act locally. I remember being in seventh grade when we were kids and they invented Earth Day. And they made us make posters and like dioramas and stuff.
I do remember all that. We were indoctrinated
diorama?
Back then. It was that. Just Say No.
Yes.
Just Say No just came say out no. like 7th or 8th grade also for
we
us.
We were indoctrinated into all of that stuff. We were kids, 7th grade, and they put Earth Day on us, and they put Just Say No on us, and they put all this stuff on us immediately. When was that? It was in the mid-80s, right?
Well, it would be mid to late 80s. I would say 85, 86,
7th
maybe
grade.
84, 85,
so
86.
mid-80s. Kind of indoctrination going on. But listen, it's you know, the environment. I'm okay with that. And people are out there doing good things today. That's kind of cool. Hopefully you liked the Curtis Mansion stuff. I felt like that was pretty cool. And I have covered all my notes. I guess now it is time for the adult-themed story. And as Meerkat is getting down to the wire with only a few percentage of battery left. So
da-na-na.
For all you kids out there, now's the time where you guys are going to have to go. Parents are going to, like, shoo you off to the other room.
I guess, all right. I don't think you're not going to say anything foul or anything. You're just going to discuss a topic where there was a girl kind of shedding some clothes, right? Is that really it?
So is that what you do? You just kind of just take the story and then you just tell the story, you just blurt it out there and then it's...
Well,
it's,
no, but I mean, you're not going to say anything foul. I don't understand why the kids would really have to leave.
Well, it's kind of, there's a theme to it. It's like an adult theme. But yeah, you're right. I am making a bigger deal of it than I should.
Like, all I'm saying is, like, I don't think it's going to be like that adult theme.
Adult theme.
All right, well, let's go for it. I hope it is.
Well, the adult theme is this, that I'm trying to explore all kinds of new technologies to bring this show further. I have gotten a little taste and understanding of what is possible with WFO radio. And here's what is possible. We are going to be able to provide content for the audience, number one, and entertain ourselves, number two. Number three, we're going to be able to expose the audience who is looking for content in an entertaining way to some really good businesses and business people that are looking for customers. Like, how great is that? I've seen some of my great friends. You may remember Mark, who I used to go on the Friday show. Then he got blown out the day after we did the thing over there, the big reunion show. You remember that?
You guys got him fired.
We got him fired. But the whole radio station was sold to someone, and so everybody got fired. And all the people that fired him, they got fired themselves. Which really made me think, boy, I'm doing the right thing with WFO Radio. We're doing the right thing. And as long as it takes, whenever it happens, that we get to the point that we have enough listeners to sell it to businesses like YourVelocity.com and RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com and Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. And, of course, AmeriLawyer.com, when you should join the General Counsel Club. Get on there. Sign in. You'll get stuff. You'll get advice. It's worth it. Do it.
Yes, do it. Do it for us. Just sign up and send your email address and go call Larry and give him a call. I'm sure you have some question that you've been wanting to ask a lawyer.
Absolutely.
Just do it now.
But now that I'm starting to realize this and starting to free up some stuff and seeing all the opportunity that is there and that our listeners actually really like us and they're willing to share the show and retweet, I'm spending a lot of time investigating new technology. Like, what is next? What is next? And this Meerkat thing and Periscope, I admit to you podcast listeners out there who hate what we've been doing because it is disrupting the show, trust me, we're going through a phase of learning about it. And if you're watching on the Meerkat right now, you know that it really kind of stinks because it's just a shaky stream. We haven't perfected it yet. The audio, you're not hearing Rich, you're not hearing this stuff. But at some point, it is going to be perfected. And like Brian in Louisiana said, this is going to be a paradigm shift in media. And so we owe it to ourselves to figure out what you can do with it. Well, the other night, it's late night, Friday night, Saturday night. It's one of those nights. 11 o'clock, midnight. And I'm awake because I don't really sleep all the time. I find it difficult to shut down, like to go under. And I'm always thinking about stuff and doing. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go on the Meerkat and I'm going to see what's on. Like, who's out there? Who's doing stuff with the Meerkat? Is it people like me? Is it music guys like that one guy? Is it like the Judge Allen? Who's out there? What's on Meerkat at 11 o'clock at night on a Friday or Saturday night? So the first thing I see is this, girl. Like Nora something.
I think it was Nora.
Nora out there in California. Oh, let me see what she's doing. Because I know what I'm doing. I'm doing a podcast about motorsports on the Meerkat. That's what we're bringing to the table. What is Nora bringing to the table for the Meerkat audience? And how many people are checking out the Meerkat audience that Nora has? So I click on there and I see this girl, like she's kind of like right in the camera, you know, sitting there. And I immediately notice she is mostly naked. Mostly. Like a little white, tank top that some would call a wife beater or guinea tee. Extremely tight. And some very, like underwear, you know.
Underwear,
panties.
No, that's exactly what she was wearing, a white tank
panties,
top and underwear.
Underwear. And so immediately I'm like, whoa, this is exactly what I thought was going to start happening. People are on there naked. And she is doing a Skype to Skype with some dude, and they both have Meerkat up. She's Meerkatting to her people. He's Meerkatting to his people. They're both on Meerkat while connected to each other by Skype. and they're doing like a Friday night dinner date or something. Except every once in a while, just for the fun of it, you know, she'll like kind of lift up like a part of the clothing. And I'm thinking to myself, well, that...
Like the radio tease when we come back.
That is definitely much cooler or definitely attractive to people on Meerkat than what we're doing. How are we going to beat that? She's really thin and she's like a model.
Well,
You saw. She's very attractive, young
yeah,
lady.
Well, she's not ugly by any means, but she's not like supermodel hot. She was just like a skinny blonde girl.
Apparently she's in the Los Angeles Entertainment Industry Complex.
Oh, okay, so maybe she works at the Center of the Performing Arts in her off time.
Well, maybe, but...
For all we know.
And got the music
She had
playing.
That look. She was thin and blonde, but she's no Kate Upton.
What are you saying? Who is Kate Upton? There's no Kate Upton. No, you're right. I agree with you. This person who
like
was
she's
randomly...
She's not model hot. She's really... I'd say she's hot for regular girl
she could have been
hot.
Definitely catalog model hot. Absolutely.
Print.
She's
she could do print work.
She could
she's
totally
definitely not a runway
print.
Model.
She's not a... Like, the fact that you even know what a runway model takes is questionable. Most,
she was
guys
waif crackhead kind of thin looking.
She was not waif. Thin, but that's not even the point. The point is she was exposing little parts of her body.
She was
to
she totally
retain
was.
The Meerkat audience, that and I was one of them. I was in the audience, and I experienced it. It was like, wow, this is new. This is a person I don't know them. They're out there. They're across. They're on the other end of the stream, and they're exposing themselves to all of us. And what are they doing? Literally, she's exposing herself. And people, of course, guys are gross, and they're like, you know, show us this or do that, or and she's just totally ignoring it all. They asked her if she knew about Yemen. Like, do you know what's going on in Yemen? And I thought that was a very interesting question. Like, what did, you know, I know what's going on in Yemen. She was unaware of what was going on in Yemen. And it was like, oh, you know, you don't know what you're talking about. But it was weird how it, like, you rode the wave, because now, you know, the exposing is happening and this and that, and I immediately, you're titillated. You're like, wow, this is what's going to happen. And then boredom began to set in.
You see, it wasn't entertaining enough for you.
Wait, what? This girl is on there, and she's wearing little panties, and she's occasionally doing like something to make me think, but even that, after a few minutes, it became tired. It became like, well, okay, well, I guess I'm gonna click off of this now and go see something else. And so I went and I checked around another girl, and that other girl that you follow from time to time.
Michaela.
The dark-haired girl.
Yeah.
Ah, all right, let's see what she's got going on. And I learned a little teenage slang from her. Yes.
Well, she's actually like 22 or 23.
Whatever.
So.
You know, teenage slang for awkward. Ox. It was a little ox.
Very
so I felt like that was cool. This is a great resource to share with the audience. I can tell them about ox and how things, you're in an awkward situation, you say it's ox. That's what the kids are saying these days. Get on it. And I was immediately bored by her. Okay, this is now boring. Look, who's watching this stuff? This is terrible.
It's then like being a peeping Tom is all it really is.
So you check in with someone, you see what they're doing, you bounce right back out. And maybe the WFO audience thinks that this is ponderous and boring too. That's where I'm getting, that's where I'm going, is that if an attractive female who is not Kate Upton attractive, I want to point that out, not Kate Upton attractive, but attractive enough to do print quality catalogs, says Geo, is on there exposing parts as a way to keep me on there. And the number got up to 160.
I want to say it was actually higher than that.
I saw like 160, 166. Never broke 200. I can tell you that.
No, I never saw it get to 200, but I do want to say it was like, yeah, maybe.
Oh, wait a second. You saw it. You didn't get out. Were you on there? You were not. What do you mean you saw it?
I've seen. I know who you're talking
about.
You
saw it because I get this.
I've seen her.
I don't even
want
to. I don't want to tell you.
No, I know. You don't have to.
I shouldn't tell them about.
Oh, sure, go
they
ahead.
Know how to use
care.
Their device. So I did. I did a screen capture. What do you mean? What do you think I did? Gio's got to see this screen capture. Next thing you know, sure enough, screen capture. Like right now, you could screen capture me right now. Ah, you missed it.
That would have been a good one.
Yeah, I know. But anyway, so where is this thing going? is the question. You got girls out there, they're getting, adult-themed on the Meerkat. We're using it for our little radio show podcast thing as a supplement so people can connect. We had a couple of calls today, but Rich was on. Thanks, Rich. Just so you know, we sacrificed our couple callers. Oh, Brian in Louisiana saw Nora and her friend, too. Community picks. How do we get to be a community pick?
I have no idea.
Down to 10%. He saw it. See? Community picks. I don't know. So anyway, long story short is beware of what's on Meerkat. You never know what you're going to get. It's a wide open technology. Who knows how people are going to use it? Anything could happen. It could take over for television. If people allow it to become whatever it can be. Which at this point, we don't know. We don't know. And we're at the very beginning. And that's it. There's my Meerkat story. It wasn't that adult themed. You're right.
That's why. That's the only
thing.
But
I don't want, the dad who's there with his young boy on the verge of, pubescence. What's he talking about, Dad? What does he mean?
Show me the money.
Why is she showing her panties?
Show me the money, Dad.
Right. So there you go.
And then he goes to the bathroom for half an hour.
Kids, come back into the room. Gets weird at the tail end of the show. All right, that's going to do it. Thank you very much. If you're in Houston, I will be there. Patrick the Webmaster, I will see you down there. I land around, 1:30 or something. Music by Clearside here on WFO Radio. It's great stuff. It's the best change we ever made here on the program. We did it totally to placate the iHeartRadio people, and it turned out to be a great thing. So thank you. As far as WFO listeners, clearly our sponsors, and get yourself a WFO t-shirt. Buy one. They're really cool. You'll like it. You represent WFO. Do I have one back here? No. Yeah. Here it is. Look at this. Got 12 people on Meerkat. Maybe one of them will buy a shirt. If you're listening on the podcast, obviously, get a shirt. Fact of the matter is, we'll be back next week with the winners from Royal Purple Raceway and the O'Reilly Auto Parts NHRA Nationals. Hopefully from on location. The Ignition Show next week. You know what, Gio? I'm thinking maybe no Meerkat next week. What do you think about that? To show that we still got what it takes.
Yeah, absolutely.
SoundCloud. I wanted to talk about SoundCloud. We're putting the shows out on SoundCloud. That's how we're doing it with iHeartRadio. And it seems to be very shareable, very easy. What's the downside? Somebody explain it. I know you guys are all audiophiles out there. SoundCloud. Why is it bad? Why should we not put our stuff on SoundCloud? Please let me know. And other than that, we got a great race Saturday night under the lights. Saturday night, Richmond International Raceway. Hopefully you will enjoy yourself. I know I have had a great time. The poker guys are not at the door, but check out Poker Action Line. They did a show from a tournament in Daytona. It was great. And that's going to do it. We'll see you next time right here on WFO Radio.
WFO!
The views and opinions of the hosts, guests, or callers do not necessarily reflect that of the station ownership, advertisers, or agencies.